Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
Big of a lead is too big of a lead to continue to celebrate. 319-366-1600. The Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn taking you up until 7 o'clock. Good show for you today. Joe Sheehan, the contributor at Sports Illustrated as well as Baseball America, also the author of the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter, will join us in about 25 minutes. We'll have the discussion about the U.S. Women's National Team. I heard you all. I heard the NBA fans. I heard the soccer fans. Chime in. 319-366-1600. Did the U.S. Women's National Team embarrass their country on a national stage yesterday? Or were they just, do they just continue to play? And is there no such thing as showing mercy in a game? 319-366-1600. We have two great prizes for you today. A $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub and a Freedom Festival prize pack that we will be giving away to lucky caller number 6 later in the show. As I mentioned, our other great guest, Sean Lay of NBC Sports, is going to join us to talk about a Game 7 and some godforsaken league between two godforsaken teams. We'll get to that a little bit later, but Kyle, what's up?
A lot, I guess. Just a random, mostly cloudy Wednesday, or at least for most of the day. I see the sun poking out over there. But yeah, dude, a lot seems to be going on, which seems to be the way it's been for the last month and a half. It's May and June, supposed to be slow, but for whatever reason, there's a lot going on.
13-0. 13-0. Man. I understand that there are times where the talent discrepancy is so large and so overwhelming that there's not much that you can do to stop scoring. There's not much that can happen in football when USC is playing Savannah State with their third string running back and third string offensive line in the game. They can't just take a knee the rest of the game. And I'm someone that you look at Major League Baseball, and I think some of the unwritten rules and to a certain extent, some of those things drive me crazy. But 13-0. And they're still celebrating. And the starters are still in the game. Where are the reserves? Where are they?
That's probably the first really good question is where are the reserves? Because as far as the rest of it goes, you know, the 13 goals, the idea of, you know, they're pouring it on, they should be nicer, they should have more proper decorum in beating the crap out of Thailand. I don't really buy into that. You know, you guys are in the World Cup right now. This is supposed to be the highest level of soccer. You got to show up. And honestly, I'm not going to feel bad for you if you get shut out and beat by 13 goals. I'm just not. You're supposed to be better than that. I'm sorry. And, you know, the reality is maybe you feel bad for the girls crying on the other sideline. That's too bad and all. But, you know, run or goal differential, you know, factors in here. That is a real thing. You get a couple games down the line and you miss out on something because your goal differential was behind by 2 goals. You know, you'd really wish that you had kept the gas on you'd have kept your foot on the gas.
You don't think after 10 goals that goal differential might be a little bit out the window?
Right? I don't, listen.
13 goals.
Listen, this is the opening game. You have no idea what might happen in the next game. You don't know you just don't know. You cannot take that risk at this level.
319-366-1600. If you call in and you don't get somebody picking up the phone right away, we're pulling a little double duty. Todd is out today. Kyle is pulling double duty as not only a fill-in co-host, but sitting on the other side of the glass. Just be patient with us. We will get you on the line, and we'll get you on the air. 319-366-1600. That's the Hertin and Stocker text line as well. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate the soccer fans out there that tell me that fill me in, because I have to admittedly say that I I don't know anything about soccer. I don't. This isn't necessarily about soccer. This is about how much of a lead is too much of a lead. And apparently in the World Cup play, you only are allowed 3 subs per game. So you can't sub in your entire team, which that seems like a ridiculous rule in and of itself. But thank you for the soccer fans on the Hurtin and Stocker text line for chiming in. First caller of the day, Spencer in Solon, who joins us on the phone line. Spencer, the floor is yours.
Hi. Yeah, I was going to mention the 3 substitution rule, and that's a soccer thing for
right.
people that don't know. And then also the goal differential, which is not a huge thing in a bunch of other sports. The goal differential thing is a big thing in soccer. And when you're playing in pool play and, you know, you have a team that's not quite that great and you have, 10 goals maybe on another team that, gets 10 goals on them, goal differential, you'd rather have that 13 goals. So that puts you ahead of them in goal differential.
Spencer, thanks for the phone call. You can follow him at 319-366-1600. Is the U.S. the best team in their pool? I think they're in the pool with Chile and Sweden.
Yeah.
Sweden has beaten Chile already, and that's who the U.S. plays next, correct? I'm just trying to stay up on what's going on in the Women's World Cup, because I know there were some people excited for this, but the only way that this became national headlines is when the U.S. team absolutely took no mercy and pounded Thailand into the ground and, quite honestly, gave them a beating that you just wonder if they can recover from. This is the equivalent of running up 91 points in football.
And teams do it.
Teams do it. You hear about it every once in a while, but you're sure not celebrating on that touchdown to go up 91-0.
I mean, are you folding your hands and running right back to where you're supposed to be to line up for the next face off or whatever? Though, what do you want them to do? Just ignore them, like clasp their hands and slowly walk back to their spot.
When you're up 91-13, yeah, I think that would suffice.
No, they're playing a game that they love on the highest stage. They're the best team in the field, and they're succeeding at that level. I mean, if they were, out there, ripping their shirts off like back in the glory days, then that's one thing. But that's, we're talking about high fives and smiles here, okay?
Sliding, right? Like sliding on the grass.
I didn't really think it was anything all that egregious. And here's my thing with this. Why, again, this is probably not going to be the first time this comes up on this show. Why, this is just another example of so many people out there they get so excited when you see anything that you could possibly be right about. 13-0, that's a lot of goals. I bet if I said they ran up the score and they should be more, have better sportsmanship, that's something that, whether you agree with it, like I don't agree with it, but I at least see where that's coming from. You see that possible controversy. There are so many people out there that are just so desperate and hungry for controversy that this is where we are. This is the U.S. women's national team. They just scored 13 goals in the opening game of the World Cup, and America is mad at them. America is revolting at its own women's national team when it's at the peak of their sport.
That's show some class.
Oh, my goodness. Are you? You're kidding, right?
13-0.
I don't know. The differential thing, you cannot take the risk to just sit on your hands in the opening game of pool play. You just cannot do that. You don't know what's going to happen. As people have pointed out on the text line, other teams are going to play Thailand too. And, other teams are pretty good as well. Who's to say that somebody else doesn't run up 12, 11 goals on them? And then all of a sudden, America is 13. That's pretty much nullified. You just cannot run that risk.
And so you can just score 13 goals on somebody.
If your opponent is bad enough to allow you to just ring up goals like it's a pinball machine, then yeah, you are allowed to do that. You don't have to show up and say, okay, I promise we're not going to beat you too bad. Just want to make sure you have fun. This is the World Cup we're talking about.
Right. So let's just say they get up 6 or 7 to nothing in this game, and all of a sudden they're running the keep away offense. They're just sort of piddling around and not necessarily trying to score, putting in their substitutes. Are they then criticized for not wanting to score more goals and not trying to? Because the only thing that I keep hearing is Alex Morgan coming out and saying, "Well, it would be disrespectful for us to stop playing." Now that's a hot take.
I'm with that.
That is a sizzling hot take.
I am right with that. You want to be treated like a baby on the world stage? You want your opponent to say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. You're so bad. We're gonna stop playing for you." You want to be treated like a baby?
Yeah.
That's a different prerogative, I guess.
Did this break records? Was this the biggest beatdown in World Cup history?
I honestly couldn't tell you
because
that.
Because somebody on the text line is saying that this isn't 12-year-old soccer. Well, it sure looked a lot like 12-year-old soccer. I mean, this looked like the A select team playing the C team. And the A select team wanted to spike their egos up, so they just kept scoring. That's what it felt like. 319-366-1600. Thank you to everyone on the Hertin and Stocker text line. All I'm saying is I would not have blamed Thailand if they wanted to throw hands yesterday.
Bring it. We'll probably beat the crap out of you.
I would not have blamed them one bit.
Good. Or that's if they fine. That's called being a sore loser.
There would have been a dirty slide tackle.
Okay. I'd like to make this parallel because I think you and I have had this conversation. This reminds me a lot, especially what you just said about, you know, if that was me, I'd want to throw hands.
No, I said I would not have blamed them if they did.
Okay. It reminds me of it. We just saw a few days ago, Max Muncy hits a game winner, lands it in the bay, and this wasn't even like a particularly notable bat flip. He didn't pimp it. He glanced at it, watched it a little bit, and got his way down the baseline. Madison Bumgarner flipped, and the story got huge. And it's just because you and I have had this exact same conversation where Madison Bumgarner isn't actually mad in that moment because he was shown up or disrespected by the batter. And this is a great example for that because, like I just said, Muncy didn't even flip his bat or stare for all that long. You're not upset that you were actually shown up. You're upset that you messed up and just lost your team the game, and it makes you feel bad to see the other team happy about that same exact thing. And that's what we're talking about. It's the same exact concept that we're talking about with the women's soccer team.
But it's not. It's a different concept because a team's up 13 to nothing. This isn't a close game. This isn't Steph Curry giving a little shimmy after he makes a three-pointer to go up 6. This isn't Max Muncy hitting a home run into the bay that gives his team a 2-run lead. This isn't even the unwritten rule in baseball that says that you can't steal, you can't tag up from second to third when you're up by 5 in a dome stadium north of the Mason-Dixon line. It's not that. This is being up 13 to nothing. Excuse me, being up 10 to nothing and still running the score up.
I just think it's mighty presumptuous to think that a one team is going to just be so concerned about the emotions of their opponent. I just do not understand that. That's pretty much right. If it makes you feel bad how bad you're getting beat, go back to practice, get a little bit better, and try next time. I really don't know. I'm honestly not sitting here saying, like I said, I don't want you guys to, like, I'm not encouraging the women's national team to go crazy and you know, do dances after your 11th or 12th goals. But I'm not mad that you're still scoring them. I'm not mad that you're succeeding on that level.
I can understand that. I guess where I come from is I know that most people, Kyle, are agreeing with you. They point to we're getting a lot of the participation trophy crowd on the text line. That's not surprising. I knew we knew
that's basically what we're talking about.
We knew that this was going to spark conversation. But Mike from Marengo, when you get to do a dance and celebrate in football, but if you flip your bat in baseball, they shun you. That I don't think that this is the same conversation really at all. I really don't.
Well, the only difference is that they're already up a lot, right?
Yeah.
Is there
no point where there's such thing as running up the score? Let me ask you that. 3193, is there no such thing as running up the score? Is it fair game at any level, in any sport, to keep scoring and keep scoring and keep scoring and keep scoring? Is it okay for Alabama to beat Savannah State 150-0? Because they could.
they could. Okay, if Bama were to beat Savannah State by 150 in, you know, early October, then no, I think that's a little unnecessary. But hear me, because like I said,
then what's the difference here?
We cannot overlook the importance of the format of pool play. I don't mean to keep bringing it up as if it's the only thing I can cling to, but it is a very important thing. As has been pointed out on the text line, there's no way I'm going to be able to figure out which one of you it was. We're getting a lot right now. But as was pointed out on the text line, goal differential does not only determine, you know, whether or not you move on, but it determines who you play when you do. There are consequences, this very serious consequences, for how bad you beat your opponent.
5297, thank you so much for that text. What if the Blues won by 13-9? That's not going to happen, 5297, but I absolutely appreciate where you are going. So, is the U.S. team favored to win the rest of their games? Favored to win the rest of their pool games? This is they're an international power, right?
Yeah, I won't claim to know exactly that they are favored in their remaining games, but given the reputation that I believe that they have, they will be favored in almost every game they run into.
They play Chile. They play Sweden. I just wonder if they stopped, and it's not like you have to stop playing here. This is soccer. This isn't football where you have to run a play in football every 25 seconds. In basketball, you pretty much have to you have to take a shot every 20, depending on which level you're at. You have to take a shot every 30 seconds. But this was a case of a team completely humiliating and showing up another team. And it in my opinion, it looked as though there were plenty of points where they could have slowed up. There were plenty of points, and it would not have affected their goal differential. Their goal differential is going to be the best in this tournament.
That is easy to say, but you know, this is sports. Crazy things happen in sports. I don't have to convince you of that. This is the opening game. There is still so far to go, still just within pool play. And we're not only talking about America. Chile. Who's to say Chile doesn't rattle off two games in a row where they score 10 goals?
Sweden is pretty good. I know, according to 79-18, that's the last team that beat the U.S. in a major tournament.
Yeah.
That was in the 2016 Olympics.
Yeah, so let's say Sweden rattles off two matches in a row where they get 10 goals. You know, and it's super hypothetical, and sure, it's probably not going to happen, but it's just a risk that's not worth taking because you feel bad for the opponent. This is the opening game. You have to start out as strong as possible. I'm sorry if that made Thailand cry.
Whew, we're firing today. I feel like this is first take.
This is so, like, I hate to use this term.
I'm Stephen A. Smith. You're Will Cain. I'm kidding.
What did you say to me?
I didn't say anything. 319-366-1600. Rob in Center Point joins us on the phone line. Rob, how are you doing today?
Hey, really good, guys. Hey, there is a perennial state championship or state qualifying two-way football team east of Iowa City, and I got to sit down and chat with their coach at one point in time, and he continually wins 50-60-3 or 0,
right.
and his starters are always in the fourth quarter. And I asked him why, and I challenged him on that. And he said, those young men work their tails off every day of every week during football season. And once there's blood in the water to pull them out or to pull them back or to start experimenting with different things, he said, is degrading to them because they work too hard. They don't get any benefit out of it except for winning and being champions. So unleash the hounds and let them run. And he changed my mind on that. If you're going to win, win big and let the big dogs hunt. I'll listen to what you got to say.
That's interesting, Rob.
It's good. They earned it.
That sounds exactly
they
like,
earned that right.
But what I saw that is almost the perfect description of what we saw yesterday. Let the big dogs hunt. Just keep running it up.
that really is. And oh my goodness, I was still driving back from Iowa City when that was still going on. I heard just the tail end of the gym class. Just in the time that it took me to leave Iowa City and drive back on the highway, I heard Scott Unash chime in, 11-0, 12, 13. It was crazy.
319-366-1600, the phone line. Sean joins us on the phone line now. Sean, what's up?
319-366-1600.
And can you turn your radio down as well? Go ahead, Sean.
Yes, sir. Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good. How are you, my man?
I'm great, man. I'm over the road truck driver. Just heard you guys' conversation. And I honestly don't have a problem to run up the score because this should just show the other team where they're at and that they need to suck it up and step it up for the future. If they can't take it, then they shouldn't be playing with the big boys.
Thank you for the phone.
Now, I can also understand if you have your first string in certain situations and you keep running up the score. Now it's a little crazy. But if you got your third stringers in for different sports and stuff like that, and you're still running up the score, then that's on the other team.
Definitely. 100% agree with you, Sean. 319-366-16. Why is there no rule in pool play that you can just sub everybody out after a point?
I mean, come on. It's an interesting idea given the context of the conversation we're having right now.
Would it be too big of an advantage for some teams that with that amount of depth?
I mean, it would kind of just be a massive fundamental change to soccer as it's played. The three subs things is pretty fundamental.
Okay. 319-366-1600. Mike in Marion joins us on the phone line. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm listening to all the conversations and all the comments, and I think it's awesome that the USA women won like they did. And I'm thinking about it, they're on the biggest stage in their sport, biggest stage in the world, and they showed it. And let's compare it to the World Series, biggest stage in baseball. And if a team is up 10-0 in the fifth inning on the opposing team, nobody's telling them to let off the gas. And if somebody hits a home run to put them up 11, 12, 13-0, the celebration is going to be huge. So when you're on the biggest stage in sports, what happens, happens. And again, if you can't stop them, that's on you. That's on the team that can't keep them from scoring.
Thanks for the phone call, Mike. Does this not just show you how freakishly good the U.S. women's team is?
Yeah, Thailand ranked 34th out of 155. It's one of the top teams in the world. Yeah, it is a huge testament to just how good they are.
And 0723 was saying the women yesterday were making their case for equal pay with the U.S. men's national team. No, I mean, this team has the biggest gripe for that of any team in our country, right?
Women's soccer, yes. If you want to keep it sports specific, yes.
Yeah. I mean, that the U.S. women's team, for what they are and for what they do, is so much more successful than the U.S. men's team. And so much more well-run than the U.S. men's team. And so much more fun to watch than the U.S. men's team.
I'm going to be watching the next game. And I don't know if I would really give a hoot about the men if they were in, but they're not. Which, they didn't make it.
319-366-1600. We need to take a break. We will come back. Kyle will get you your first Big board update of the day brought to you by Alexander Lumber. And then we will get Joe Sheehan of the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter to join us at 4:30. Thank you to everyone who joined us on the Hertine and Stocker text line and the Hertine and Stocker, or excuse me, the phone line. We will take a break. We'll come back and more of the show, more of the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. Kyle Mann filling in for Todd Brommelkamp after this.
DePaco is the credit union where your membership pays. Unlike typical profit-driven financials, DePaco's cooperative member-owned structure enables us to give money back to you. We do it via thank yous, a special member benefit that thanks you in cash for simply using your credit union services. It's money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and planning for your financial future. DePaco members, whether young or oldish, can earn. Since 2016, DePaco members have shared millions of dollars in thank yous. So go on, save, borrow, invest, and insure with DePaco and earn thank yous for doing so. Find out what you're earning and how you can earn even more. Get the details at DePaco.com/thank yous. Requires credit union membership and thank yous program eligibility. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Opportunity.
We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer, all the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Your first-place Minnesota Twins are on display at Target Field.
Got him! Ball game over, and the Twins win.
Eddie Rosario providing a flair for the dramatic.
Eddie Rosario with a ninth-inning three-run homer.
With a new hero every night.
And Gonzalez hits it high in the air down the right field line, and it is gone!
Go crazy on June 14th for Prince Night as the first 10,000 fans receive a limited-edition Purple Prince Twins jersey. Get your tickets at twinsbaseball.com/prince.
On every job site, the formula is the same. Less downtime equals more profit. Reduce that downtime with top-notch machinery from Star Equipment, like the JLG 1930ES electric scissor lift, with more of what you need for every job. More duty cycles to keep you on the job longer. More versatility to work in a wide variety of environments with cleaner, quieter operation. And more features and productivity-enhancing tools. Rent or buy from Star Equipment and improve your job site profits. Star Equipment, Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
After a thrilling come-from-behind win on Tuesday, Jose Berrios in the mound for the Twins in Game 2 on Wednesday. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. 4:31,
welcome back to Studio A on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Alex Kuhn alongside Kyle Mann, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Todd is out today. Scott Unash helping us out on the other side of the glass. And we're going to chat with Joe Sheehan, the contributor for Sports Illustrated and Baseball America, in just a second. Also, the author of the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. A little bit of news from earlier today. As most people expected, Kevin Durant ruptured his Achilles and has had surgery on that in New York. So, successful surgery. He posted about it on his Instagram. Then it was reported by several outlets. We'll see the timetable on how long it will take him to get back to playing and where he will be playing his basketball in a couple of years when he is healthy enough to return. Thank you to everyone who chimed in on the Hertine and Stocker text line as well as the phone line. Now it's time for your first big board update of the day, brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Answers by Alexander will help you choose the deck that's right for your outdoor space and your budget, with two locations in Iowa City.
More from yesterday's basketball availability. Joe Wieskamp said it was his plan all along to return to school for his sophomore season, but he was not shy about the fact that that's what he eventually wants to do is go pro. He didn't indicate he's got any sort of set timetable, but it'll definitely be a real discussion as soon as next season if he plays well this season. Luka Garza also said he's preparing to be able to extend his shot to the new three-point line, and Fran McCaffrey mentioned that Jack Nungy's up over 250 pounds. Iowa junior Longy Tasugga, I'll get better at that, is fresh off an NCAA title in the discus, as well as her third Big Ten title and third All-American distinction. She was named the 2019 Big Ten Field Athlete of the Year today. She was the 14th national champion in Iowa's program history and is now the second to receive that award. The Colonels returned home for the first time in 2 weeks last night, and with only four games remaining in the first half, they've gotten hot as they fight for a wild card spot. Gabe Snyder homered with twice in the 4-1 victory last night, and another big home run from Andrew Bechtold power a 4-3 victory earlier today. The Colonels are now 9-3 in the month of June and go for the sweep tomorrow at 6:30. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins and Mariners on the North Gym, but Alex, is anything going on? The cup is on the line on the South and Main gyms. The Blues and Bruins from Boston for all the marbles. Puck drop set for just minutes after we leave the air.
Nope, nothing's going on. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just glad that we got to talk a little women's soccer instead of...
That's what you were thinking about when you woke up today.
That's what I was thinking about when I woke up and had a little bit of chest pains.
And, because you were nervous about...
No, I didn't know what was wrong with me. I had really bad heartburn, apparently, because took some Tums and I felt better. But when I woke up at 6 o'clock on the day of Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final and I had chest pains, let's just say it was a little disconcerting.
Alex is having a physical reaction to his nervousness for tonight.
See,
just so the listeners know.
We'll get Joe Sheehan on the show here in just a second. I wouldn't describe it as nervousness. I was nervous for Game 6. They blew Game 6. They had a chance to win it at home. And I think that there's still a little bit of anger with a lot of fans that they weren't able to do it in front of their home fans, and now they have to go on the road to Boston and beat them in their home arena, which they've done. They've done it twice in this series. The road team has been the better team in this series. Winning a Game 7 against Tuukka Rask in that building, I don't think that there's any doubt they're the underdog going into this game. They should be, which maybe that's a good thing. They've been good in underdog situations, but I'm not going to sit here and hold my breath that they're going to be able to win a Game 7. That's where I'm at, and that's sort of the approach that I'm taking into this game tonight. Nervousness. There was nervousness. It's still dejection after that Game 6 loss and the fact they now have to go on the road and try to win a Stanley Cup against the Boston Bruins, something, by the way, they've never done before. And if they don't win tonight, maybe they are never get back there in my lifetime. We'll get to that a little
so
bit later.
Bleak.
But Joe Sheehan of the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter, also a contributor for Baseball America and Sports Illustrated, joins us now. And Joe, let's start with the news of the day. Corey Seager was having an outstanding season. How big of a blow is this for him and the Dodgers with that severe hamstring strain?
It's significant. Remember, I mean, one of the Dodgers are built for is injuries. If you look at this run over the last few years, they've structured themselves to have incredible depth, whether it's on the pitching staff or position players. They can fill shortstop. Enrique Hernandez will get some time. Chris Taylor will get some time. I'd be curious to see if they call up one of their top prospects, Gavin Lux. I'm not sure he would have gotten a shot this year, but for the injury. Corey Seager had started out kind of slowly, and then over the last month or so really turned it on, started to look like the MVP caliber player that he was in his first two healthy seasons. It's a blow. I think the Dodgers have two things in their favor. One, the drop-off to the available talent is not devastating. Two, they're running away with the division anyway. They can let Corey Seager come back on his own time. The next important game the Dodgers are going to play is on October 2nd or so. So they don't have to rush him back. That's the luxury that they have because they're just that good right now.
You paint a picture of a team who has a little bit of time to play with because, like you said, they've got a 9-game lead out there in the West. They're the only team in the NL with a comfortable lead to speak of. Is that the only elite team in the National League, would you say?
I go back and forth on whether the Cubs are elite. It feels like every time I think they're about to turn it on, they get run out of the gym by a team like the Rockies, who are, you know, an 85-win team. They haven't been able – they started the year with bad pitching, pitching rounded into form, kind of fell off a little bit over the next couple, last couple of weeks. The offense, you look at the names and you look at the stat sheet and you go, this should be a good offense. And it seems like they kind of score in fits and starts. The Dodgers, they're probably not on that tier right now. If you look at there's a tier right now, it's probably the Astros and Dodgers. You look at the Cubs and say they're on the next tier down.
Let's talk about the Chicago Cubs. They signed Craig Kimbrell to take care of a little bit of their bullpen need. Brad Brock has another bad outing. A lot of people are wondering if he's going to be DFA'd. Do the Chicago Cubs still have work to do to solidify that bullpen?
Yeah, Brock seems like the guy most likely to lose his job. And we'll see how this, you know, there's still probably a week before they've got to activate Kimbrell. You know, Kyle Ryan, after some early bumps, he's been effective from the left side. That's what I think they could use, is some kind of power arm from the left side. They have a lot of these one-inning right-handed types. Mike Montgomery throws multiple innings from the left side. He obviously has started in previous seasons. I really would like to see them, if they could somehow squeeze Will Smith out of the Giants. I love that as a fit. Not necessarily because they need somebody to pitch the ninth inning exclusively, but because he would be a great matchup option. He's also a full-inning option. He's somebody who gets right-handers out. But a top-end left-handed reliever, I think, would fit them, you know, even after going out and signing Kimbrell. I'm not that excited about the Kimbrell signing. I look at the walk rates. I look at the breaking ball command the last couple of years. I know people focus on last year's postseason, but really that's the guy he's been in three of the last four seasons. So is Kimbrell an upgrade on Brad Brock? Yes. Is Kimbrell the guy who pitched for the Braves, you know, 5 years ago? No, absolutely not.
For the last couple of years, the conversation around the Cubs, pretty much since the Quintana trade, has been that they just didn't have the ammo to pull off, you know, one of those big name trades at the deadline like they maybe needed to. How much closer are they to being able to do that this year?
I mean, do you want to give up Alzolay? Alzolay had come off the DL, and he's made, last I checked, he's made four pretty good starts at AAA.
Mm-hmm.
Is he somebody you want to use as a trade chip, or is he somebody you want to use in your rotation in the second half of the season? When you consider that the health risk of a Darvish, is he going to be able to throw a full 200-inning season when he hasn't done that in a while? Are you eventually going to have to shut down some of these older pitchers, give them a Dodger vacation, two starts on the disabled list? I don't know if I'd want to use Alzolay in that regard. And again, I mean, one of the reasons that this team would struggle to make a deal like that is that they traded Torres for Chapman. They traded Jimenez to get Quintana. They've burned two, you know, at the time, top 10 prospects. Eloy Jimenez was a top 5 prospect. You can only burn much prospect value before it eventually starts to catch up with you. They haven't developed pitching. If you look at the Cubs this year, I believe Dylan Maples is the only Cub-drafted or signed starter who's actually pitched for them this year. That's been a problem for them. So as good as they've done at the top of the draft, Bryant, Schwarber, Almora, Baez, all these first-round picks, they definitely haven't done well as the draft's gone on. So you see them now to patch this pitching staff from the outside.
Joe, what do you make of the St. Louis Cardinals? Because this has been a 3 or 4 year thing where they're 4 games out. They're not playing very good baseball. The roster doesn't look anywhere near able to compete with the Cubs or the Brewers. And they're going to go towards a trade deadline, sort of on the fringe of being contenders, but not really. And they just aren't playing. Like I said, they've been so inconsistent in every aspect of their game. What do you make of this team right now?
I was a little surprised by their offseason. I didn't like the Goldschmidt trade. I know this seemed like hindsight because he hasn't played that well for them, but this was a team that hit home runs last year. They were 5th in the NL in home runs. They had a first baseman who was one of their best players in Carpenter, who, as recently as 2 years ago, they didn't want playing third base every day. And burning assets to bring in Goldschmidt, I thought, was a strange direction for them to go. You look at this year, and I don't want to make excuses for them, but if you look at the look at the Cardinals, you know, Alex Reyes, 3 years ago, they thought was going to be a number one type starter for them. He's thrown 4 innings the last 2 years. Carlos Martinez, who kind of had the number one starter role, you know, was hurt for a lot of last year. He's thrown over 10 innings so far this year. They're missing 300 innings from two pitchers they expected to be two of the better, not just on their team, but two of the better pitchers in their league. I think if you look at the fall off for the Cardinals from expectations, what we would have expected them to be in 18 versus what they were, what we expect them to be in 19 versus what they are, a lot of that gap is those missing innings from those two pitchers.
Let's stay in the NL Central. We talked. You mentioned the trades that the Cubs made, Jose Quintana for Eloy Jimenez. Is it now apparent that the Chris Archer deal that the Pittsburgh Pirates made was an unmitigated disaster?
I don't know if I want to use that word. I will say that they were betting on the come with Archer. They had 2.5 years of control. He'd obviously struggled in Tampa Bay, but there were reasons to believe that getting him out of there would help him. It was obviously a tough division to pitch in. But beyond that, it seemed like Kevin Cash was really bad about getting him out of games. A lot of Archer's poor numbers in Tampa were he'd have an ERA of like 36 in the last inning that he pitched. So there was some optimism that getting into a better situation in Pittsburgh would help, but he hasn't been able to get the command under control. He still got the velocity. He still throws a lot of sliders, but the command of the fastball just hasn't been there. I'm not sure. I like Glasnow and Meadows. I don't think I saw either one of them having this kind of breakout. And we'll see how Glasnow does coming after off the injury. We'll see how Meadows does the rest of the season. It doesn't look like a good trade for the Rays. Yes. Can it still be a good trade for the Pirates? I'm not sure, because when they made it last year, the Pirates, I want to say, were like 5 games out of the wild card at the time. There was an idea that, hey, they could actually contend this year. They've already burned the second year of the Archer deal. Now they're not going to contend this year. Can you reasonably project them to be a contender next year? Probably not. So essentially you've burned all this value that you had in Glasnow and Meadows and Shane Baz, and you really are probably not going to get a playoff spot out of it.
You brought up the idea of kind of putting these teams into tiers, and I think you mentioned that Houston and the Dodgers were in a tier, and I believe, whether or not they're actually there, the Yankees have to be close. But my question is it time that we, start mentioning the Twins up there as a legitimately top-tier team?
If I'm doing tiers, I've got to include the Twins on that second tier. And I might not put them on the level I might have the Cubs on. But, it's not a thing where, sometimes we see these teams get off to great starts and, you look at the run differential and they're like plus 13. And it's because they've won a whole lot of one-run games. They've gotten fortunate and they haven't. The Twins are just bludgeoning teams. The Twins, after, a year where they really went out, and tried to add a lot of power in Chris Crone, in CJ Crone, in Jonathan Scope, in Nelson Cruz. And those guys they've come in, they've hit for power, and they haven't hurt the team's OBP. My concern coming into the season is that they were trading off a lot of guys on base, Joe Mauer retiring, traded Brian Dozier in season. And they picked up a lot of low OBP sluggers, and it's turned out they've gotten the slugging and the on-base percentage. You also look at the development of the – hello?
We're here. Sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and then you look at the development of the pitching staff with Rocco Baldelli coming in as manager, hiring Wes Johnson away from, I believe it was Arkansas, to come in and be the pitching coach. Really innovative moves by that young front office that have paid off. They've gotten good work out of the bullpen. They're not going with one closer. Trevor Rogers has been good. Trevor May has been good. Blake Parker, who they picked up basically for nothing this offseason. It's inexpensive, mostly young bullpen that just gets guys out. So they're doing a lot of really good things this year.
Are you buying into Jake Odorizzi turning a corner in his career? Always had talent, never really put it together, and now he's having a really, really fantastic start to the year.
And I think he's somebody who has really been aided by kind of the way we look at pitchers now. He's got this high spin, high four-seam fastball that I think years ago he would have gone, can you really work up in the zone? That's dangerous. You don't really have that top-end velocity. But because we understand now that these high spin fastballs are very effective, the Twins have been able to let Odorizzi loose. And instead of saying, hey, look, you got to work down in the zone, you're going to get hit for home runs, they say, hey, look, this works. Hitters aren't picking up your heat. You can work above the belt with your 93, as opposed to normally we'd want guys to work 96, 97 if they're going to work that far up. So, this is a case where analytics have really brought out the talent in a player.
What do we know about Dallas Keuchel and who may sign him?
Well, he signed with the Braves. Signed with the Braves about a week ago. He's actually made a rehab start. This is all over the ad. He somehow managed to shut down an A-ball team, so everybody was pretty excited on Monday night. I really like the signing for the Braves. They have a lot of pitching talent, but it's a lot of guys who have to have their innings managed. They've kind of shuffled the back end of that rotation. They've used Kyle Wright. They've used 2K Toussaint, who's now out of their bullpen. They've got Colby Allard, Ian Anderson, just a whole bunch of these top-end prospects that they haven't committed to. Keuchel establishes himself as a six-inning, what will it be, 18-start guy over the rest of the season. They know every fifth day they're going to put him on the mound. Also, guys, Keuchel being that extreme ground ball pitcher, Donaldson, Swanson, Albies, Freeman, that's a plus defensive infield. That's a really good landing spot for Keuchel.
We're still about a month and a half away still, but the league's starting to shape out a little bit. And so I'm wondering, are there any surprise teams in terms of who's going to be a buyer, who's going to be a seller at this point?
If there's going to be a surprise seller, it might be the Nationals. And I don't see them going this way. Remember, we talked to you last year. You know, could they possibly end up trading Bryce Harper? And there was actually a deal apparently on the table for Harper. They've never been a team that's wanted to commit to trading guys. But Steven Strasburg has an out at the end of the year. Anthony Rendon is a full free agent at the end of the year. There's some risk for them that they could play this out, not make the playoffs, and lose two of their anchors at the end of the year. So I think the Giants are going to run the trade deadline. But if the Nationals were to fall off and be nine, remember, everybody's making the decision earlier this year because of just the one trade deadline. The Nationals are 9-10 games out come, the July 25th. I think they've seriously got to look at dealing a Strasburg or a Rendon.
Joe Sheehan joining us for just a few more minutes. Has there been a bigger revelation for the Chicago White Sox than Lucas Giolito in the year that he is having?
No, I want to say effective. I think it's 2 months today that he came off the DL and made that start. That it's literally been 60 days that we've been talking about Lucas Giolito on this level. Just fastball command. And this is somebody, you see this sometimes. You know, we're so used to players now showing up in the major leagues as superstars. Walker Buehler and Jack Flaherty last year. Hitters like Juan Soto coming up and just raking. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. And I don't think we have the patience that we used to for young players struggling. Well, Giolito last year, he didn't pitch well, but he took 32 starts. Gave the White Sox 170-odd innings, I believe it was. And he kept learning how to pitch. And what we've seen from him this year is just, I can throw my fastball to spots. I can throw my fastball not just for strikes, but for good strikes. And that's set everything else up. His slider's been very effective. His changeup's been very good. It's the maturity and the growth that we used to wait for with young pitchers that we kind of lost our patience for. It's really one of the best stories of the year. There's an outside chance he starts the All-Star game.
Joe Sheehan, the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter, thank you so much for joining us, and enjoy the rest of your week.
Thanks, bud.
We literally talked about Dallas Keuchel joining the Braves a week ago on this show. Like, my brain is shot. I'm just being completely affected by everything.
I know.
Like, everything is being affected right now. My brain, I woke up with chest pains. This is not good. This is not how we're supposed to follow our teams.
It is.
It should not go to this extent.
It is, though. You're committed.
No, I'm not. I can't keep doing this.
Your Blues fandom is literally part of you.
It's killing me.
It may well be. But honestly, dude, I'm going to be watching this game tonight. I'm not a huge hockey fan.
I couldn't wait to see what Dallas Keuchel looked like in a Braves uniform. Wow. He was going to be such a great addition to that young team. And then I forgot that he got signed.
That's okay.
What is happening?
It's a crazy day, dude.
Oh, continue. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, let's see. Oh, I was just going to say, I'm rooting for the Blues. And, I'm sort of, this concept has been explored already, where I'm very much like a Chicago, just in general, I'm very much a Chicago sports fan. And so it is against my nature to be rooting for the Blues, but I want you to know that I am, and
I appreciate that.
Pretty much only because of you, and seeing you texted me this morning telling me you're having chest pains, really not feeling good, man, and it just, I know it's because you're so nervous about game seven.
I had a really spicy burrito for dinner last night. That's what was causing it. But when you wake up and you're nervous and you have that like heartburn, you're just wondering, oh God, it's the first thing that comes to your mind. Like, what's wrong with me?
These last couple days, it reminds me of the way I felt leading into game seven when the Cubs were in the World Series, because it is so hard to have any sort of hope that things are going to go well, especially when, you know, you're on the road. The Cubs were in Cleveland. You know, it is just so hard to be confident enough that you're going to go on the road. You know, you've already lost three times. Why wouldn't we lose tonight? But I don't know how things are going to start tonight, but all it took for me that day was Dexter Fowler hitting a leadoff home run, and all of a sudden I felt a lot better, and it was go time, and you can just enjoy the game. And so I just want you to remember that it is possible that tonight, like, you're in such a bad mood, you're feeling so anxious. There's a real possibility that tonight is going to be, you know, I don't want to say the best night of your life, but tonight could be pretty cool, dude. I just want you to remember that.
I hope so. I hope so. And the point that you make about not being able to, like, envision it happening, I was talking to my brother about this. I'm like, well, I just can't see it happening. I can't see them going on the road. He's like, well, of course you can't see it happening, because it's never happened before.
Well, that too.
Like, you can't see something that's never happened. There's no way to envision it. So we'll get into that with Sean Lay of NBC Sports, but I just want you all to know that this is clearly affecting every part of me, and that's not okay. When it's affecting me, it's affecting my ability to talk to you, and that can't happen. So
you,
I'm going to take a break.
Day.
We're going to come back. We'll wrap up hour number one. I'm going to collect my breath and see if we can have a better second 2 hours than the first one, because I just want to wipe that one. Can we cut that one from the podcast? All right, let's do it. More on the way after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Good losers gamble to have fun. They know losing is part of the game. In fact, good losers plan on it. And they never lose more than they can afford. Good losers know when to stop. If you're a good loser, you sleep no problem. But if you can't sleep, if your losses hurt too much, we can help. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.org and find out once and for all, are you a good loser? Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
If you're a small business owner, there's no better place to find the impact hire to help your business than LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you're looking for and then recommends qualified candidates from their community of engaged and career-minded people, candidates who you likely won't be able to reach anywhere else. The truth is, over 70% of the U.S. workforce is on LinkedIn, and posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. So build your winning team by posting a job on LinkedIn and visit LinkedIn.com/sports to get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/sports for $50 off your first job post. LinkedIn.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
You could win free fuel for a year in the Shell Great Gas Giveaway. Fuel Rewards members are automatically entered every time they purchase 8 gallons or more. And if you choose new Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, you get 4 entries. So, it's time to fill up for a chance to win. Not a member? To join, download the app or go to fuelrewards.com/win. No purchase necessary. Motion ends 9/1/19. See official rules at fuelrewards.com/win for how to enter by mail and all details.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge for the exact same high-speed networks. It's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
The Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger is one of McDonald's most popular burgers in Spain. To try one, you'd have to
reprogram your GPS,
recalculate it,
go to the airport, leave your car, buy a plane ticket, land in Madrid, and go to McDonald's.
Bienvenida a McDonald's.
Or you could hang that next left and get to your neighborhood McDonald's now. Because for a limited time, the juicy Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger and other worldwide favorites are here. Around the World is now around the corner at participating McDonald's for a limited time.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. Perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Welcome to the High Life. The 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
After a thrilling come-from-behind win on Tuesday, Jose Barrios in the mound for the Twins in Game 2 on Wednesday. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
319-366-1600, hour number one wrapping up here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Alex Kuhn and Kyle Mann today taking you up until 7 o'clock. We have an Emil's Hideaway poll question today, and it goes like this. Who will win Game 7 of the hockey game tonight? Will it be the team in the blue jerseys or the white jerseys or the... Who will win the Stanley Cup Game 7 tonight, St. Louis or Boston? You can vote at KGYMradio.com. I just didn't want to acknowledge it. There's no, because...
Have you voted yet?
I have not voted. I caught my breath. I collected myself. I was able to tell everyone that we're going to have a big board update in hour number two with Kyle, which is going to be brought to you by Alexander Lumber, with a brand new facility opening up shortly. Alexander Lumber is in their temporary location at 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City. We're going to get to some NBA talk here in just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour Sports Center. And then Sean Leahy of NBC Sports will break down game number 7 for us at 5:30. The 6 o'clock hour will be devoted to Iowa basketball as Fran McCaffrey, Luca Garza, and Joe Wieskamp met with the media yesterday in Iowa City, and we will hear the highlights of that here shortly. Our podcast following the show will be available exactly where you voted in our poll question, our Emil's Hideaway poll question at KGYMradio.com. Hour number one is in the books. Hour number two is on the way next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Kevin Durant of the Warriors did rupture his right Achilles tendon in Game 5 of the NBA Finals. He had surgery today. ESPN's Bobby Marks says he'd still sign Durant to a free agent contract, even if he couldn't play next season.
He is a unique talent. He's a top three talent. And the only downside is that it's not 10 years ago when the max was $18 million.
Bobby Marks on Golic and Wingo. Game 6 for the Warriors and Raptors tomorrow night in Oakland. 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ABC TV, and the ESPN app. Also from the NBA, ESPN has learned the Celtics and the Lakers are already separately in trade talks with the Pelicans about Anthony Davis. Davis's agent, Rich Paul, says Davis is not interested in playing in Boston. The Stanley Cup will be skated around the ice in Boston tonight. Game 7 for the Bruins and the Blues. St. Louis is in its 51st NHL season and in search of its first championship. Bruins defenseman Matt Grizzlick is out of the concussion protocol and will likely play tonight. He's been out since Game 2.
Coming up Thursday, breaking down Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, the Conn Smythe winner, and more. Plus, could Draymond be the next Warrior in question of making it through the series? Well, look and Wingo Thursday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
That SportsCenter update was brought to you by The Grill Works in Marion. Your grilling and smoking headquarters, making you the grill master you deserve to be. Here's the grilling tip of the week.
Did you know you can cold smoke cheese on any grill? Really? This is Lisa with The Grill Works. We carry an accessory that, when filled with wood pellets, allows you to cold smoke cheese on any grill in as little as 3 hours, without even turning the grill on. Think of the possibilities. Cheese, butter, salt, even ice cream with that delicious smoke flavor. Stop into the Grillworks at 763 8th Avenue in Marion, and I'll fill you in on all the details. The Grillworks, your grilling and smoking headquarters.
When it comes to their kids, dads don't have favorites. When it comes to their tools, they do. And the Home Depot has every one of them. Top brands like Makita and DeWalt. Exclusive brands like Ryobi, Husky, and Ridgid. Even Milwaukee. With an M12 12-volt 5-tool kit, now just $199. Today is the day for do it. And for dad, with the best selection of his favorite tools only at the Home Depot. More saving, more do it. Offer valid through June 19th while supplies last.
Drop the anchor, will you?
Sure, Grandpa.
You tied it off, right?
Tied what off?
The anchor. And the rope that the anchor was attached to.
There's a reason they say curse like a sailor.
Oh.
Hey, watch your mouth.
Many reasons. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Oh, so much for fish for dinner.
After a thrilling come-from-behind win on Tuesday, Jose Barrios in the mound for the Twins in Game 2 on Wednesday. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
I can definitely relate to that sailor, Kyle. Alex Kuhn alongside Kyle Mann, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until 7 o'clock. We're going to hand you off to some evening programming. Nothing really going on, so just get ready for some... Oh, there is something going on? There's a hockey game?
There is a hockey game happening tonight.
I'll be listening to that on the drive home. Is that on all three frequencies?
Two.
Two? The Twins.
South and Maine, we've got the Twins on.
That means the Twins must
gym.
Be on. Yep. So we've got Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final and also a contest between the first place Minnesota Twins and the Seattle Mariners. They're taking on Seattle. It's not a late game. It's not on the West Coast. It's at Target Field in Minneapolis. Hour number two is underway. We're going to be giving away a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub in just a few minutes, so just stick around. That's your cue to stick around through this NBA discussion. It got a lot of traction on the gym class today, Kyle. A lot of people wondering what's next for Kevin Durant. 319-366-1600. Kevin Durant, it was confirmed today, he ruptured his Achilles in the Game 5 of the NBA Finals. He went to New York to get operated on. His surgery is complete. It's successful. I've never understood what successful meant other than... What is a successful surgery? Does that mean that he survived it, or...
I would guess that successful surgeries entail not nicking other arteries or...
No infections.
Leaving your equipment inside the body. Or
I just wonder
anything.
How loose
shenanigans, just all encompassing shenanigans.
All encompassing. Okay, so anything that doesn't involve a major error is a successful surgery.
I would think so.
All right, 319-366-1600. How does this change the landscape of the offseason? Because Kevin Durant had a player option, he could have become a free agent this offseason. Had he not played in Game 5 of the NBA Finals, we're probably talking about that. How does this change things?
That to me is, there's a lot to unpack. There's with the Durant injury, you've got how it affects the Warriors on the floor, how it affects the series as a whole. But to me, how it affects the free agency that we've all been waiting, or I won't say we've all been waiting for it, but there's a lot of anticipation for this upcoming free agent class. And like you just said, Kevin Durant's a big part of that. And we're now in a position where, we don't know, because everybody thought that, he was destined for New York already. But if I'm Kevin Durant now, I almost, hear me out on this. I don't know if I'm the Warriors, I don't think they would want him to do this, but he's still got, he can opt into something like $31 million still.
I had heard that was sort of his worst case scenario. I heard Adrian Wojnarowski on ESPN the other night saying that teams will still sign. There's going to be a market for him in free agency if he doesn't opt into the contract.
I think that he, because the max contract you can sign is going to be the same this year as it will be next year. And actually, it'll even be a little bit more just with your basic inflation that you get in the league from year to year. And so it, but I believe it would be 5 years, right? Five years guaranteed. Signing a new contract right now would give you 5 years guaranteed with some pretty big money. Opting into your $31 million guaranteed for one more year, collecting that check while not playing a single game, and then signing a five-year contract next summer.
Makes more sense.
That's six guaranteed years of big money. So if I'm Kevin Durant, that is my thought. Maybe he just wants to get to New York. Maybe he just wants to get the deal signed and let the Knicks move forward, as they will, building around him. But to me, there's a very interesting possibility that Kevin Durant just opts in, sits on the sideline for another year, and we have to put this whole thing off until next summer.
I've heard two trains of thought on this. There are the people that say, okay, well, he can opt into his contract like we just outlined and have a full year to recover. And he'll make $31 million. He won't be rushed back. He won't. It'll be a fairly stress-free rehab for him to make sure that he's 100% right before he ever steps on an NBA floor again. But I guess where I'm coming from, the other side of this is, there's a legitimate chance that we may not see the best Kevin Durant again. This type of injury is not one that ever guarantees that you're going to see a 100% athlete after it. I know I've heard people call into our show who had an Achilles tear. I've known people, athletes, people in everyday life who have torn their Achilles, and it is not something that you can just snap your fingers, go to rehab for a couple of months, and be 100% ready to go. And he's going to be 32 by the time that he ever plays. Am I off base here to be concerned that the second best player in the game right now, we may not see at that form ever again?
No, you're 100% right. Obviously, this extremely serious injury we've seen, this has derailed, several careers already. And so you're 100% right about that. But I guess going back to what I was saying there, I'm thinking that could very well be true. But in terms of contract negotiations, Kevin Durant may not be who he has been when he's coming back. But if I'm his agent, if I'm his advisors, nobody in the whole entire world is going to know that.
Nobody's going to know that. And you also have to say, okay, 80% of Kevin Durant, if he comes back at 80% of
exactly.
What he was, he's a top five player in the game.
I'm still turning around next summer saying, hey, James Dolan, remember how nobody good has gone here in a million years? I'm Kevin Durant. Do you want to not sign me because I'm coming off an injury, or do you want to just sign me to the max deal and get this over
this
with?
This is amazing. Oh, please let this happen. The New York Knicks signed Kevin Durant coming off of an Achilles tear. What's the worst that could happen? If you want a surefire way to make sure that we're never going to see 100% Kevin Durant, go sign with New York. Am I being too hard on the New York Knicks here? Because it feels like...
No, they suck. James Dolan sucks.
They are a terrible organization. And this is sort of where the problem lies with the NBA right now. You have the three top markets in the NBA, and all of their franchises are trash. Every single one of them. I'm not including the Clippers. I'm talking about the number one franchise in those cities. The Knicks, the Bulls, the Lakers are all in a spot right now where I know that they're we'll get to the trade rumors in just a second. There apparently are open negotiations going on between the Lakers and the Pelicans trying to acquire Anthony Davis, and I think they realize they have to go in for that one because they're going to have a hell of a time trying to sign free agents this offseason with the current state of their front office. But those three teams right now are not going to be able to attract big-time talent in the free agent market.
Yeah, and we got a point brought up from Paul and Marion here, which I think is interesting. It's the flip side. There could be benefits if Kevin Durant, as we've been led to believe, has already made up his mind that the Knicks is where he wants to get to, which, I don't quite understand. But if that's what he wants to do, then Paul and Marion points out that the benefit to that would be you sign Kevin Durant to his max deal. You now have Kevin Durant, right? But you also still have a trash team because he's not playing. That allows you to tank one more time. And hear me out here. I hate to get this hypothetical because, you know, this is more message boardy than...
No, this is NBA. The whole chatter around the NBA is pretty message boardy. So I will allow it.
Imagine...
Can we get something official? I'll allow it. Go ahead.
Thank you. Imagine a Knicks team here where you draft RJ Barrett this summer.
It's going to happen.
2 years from now, you've got on your wing. I would contend that, you know, point guard is incredibly important in the league, but I think right behind having a good, heady point guard, the second most important thing in all of the NBA is having good, long, two-way players on the wing.
On the wing,
I'm talking about those 6'8", 6'9".
Jason Tatum, Kawhi Leonard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So a couple years from now, imagine a Knicks team that's got RJ Barrett, Kevin Knox, Kevin Durant, and some more cap space to play with, and another lottery pick.
See, that's interesting because we chatted with several. I think we had Brad Botkin on last week. We had Steve Kyler on this week. Who is the team right now that everyone is pointing at to be that destination landing spot for a big free agent? It's the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
It's the LA Clippers. And people are asking the question, well, why them? Well, what have they done? The NBA has finally, these teams have finally found out the recipe of how can we create a super team? We get really good role players, we draft them, we develop them, and then we bring in superstars. Right?
You either bring them in via free agency, which would be ideal. If you can get really good, young, cheap talent and then have the cap space to add somebody on top of it. But similar, you've sort of seen the Celtics go this route. They might even go deeper in this route, you know, depending how things go. But you see some teams, you get the young players and then you trade a bunch of them. You put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, you know, instead of having four good young players, you've got one good player who can't carry your team because he's not as good as you thought.
If you're the Lakers, that's how it goes.
Well, and you know what? This is a good point because are we ready to dip into the AD trade talks yet?
Yeah, go ahead. So lay out the rumors.
Okay, all right. So there has been a Woj bomb. This got published to ESPN at about 4:30.
Also a fake Woj bomb, folks. If you're on Twitter, stay woke.
Stay woke, of course.
You just got to make sure that there's a blue check mark and not a Twitter handle with a name of somebody that is a very, very disgusting pun. If you know, if you're on Twitter right now, you know who I'm talking about.
He pops up all over the place.
He doesn't change his Twitter handle. I literally cannot say what his name is.
No, you cannot.
But if you're on Twitter, you know who I'm talking about. He will keep his Twitter handle the same. He will change the picture of his avatar to Adrian Wojnarowski. He will change his Twitter name to Adrian Wojnarowski, keep his handle the same, and then tweet out that the New Orleans Pelicans have made a trade with the Los Angeles Lakers and have people with blue check marks retweeting it.
Idiot.
His first name is Barry, by the way. That's all I can say. Continue.
From Woj, the Boston Celtics and Los Angeles Lakers are engaged in separate trade talks with the New Orleans Pelicans in pursuit of star forward Anthony Davis. New Orleans and Los Angeles have canvassed the league, so this would be on the Lakers' side, have, quote, canvassed the league to find a third team that would use the Lakers' number 4 overall pick in exchange for sending another high-level player to the Pelicans. So that's what's working on the Lakers' side. Meanwhile, on the Boston side, reportedly, Rich Paul has publicly and privately made it known that Boston would apparently be a one-year rental for Anthony Davis. But nonetheless, the Lakers and Celtics are officially in an arms race for Anthony Davis.
Let's talk about the Celtics first. Would you want to do this? Because, and it, last couple years, 2 years ago, you asked me this question, I say no. But how many teams have we seen go this route? Worked out pretty well. Oklahoma City, they thought they were getting a one-year rental with Paul George. He re-signed. Kawhi Leonard, it's going to be a one-year rental. Toronto could win the NBA championship this year with him. And if they do that, it's worth every bit of what they gave away to get him.
And there's some indications he may sign.
And there's that.
I'm with you. I don't think teams should be as scared off by the idea of a one-year rental because, you know, I guess what's difficult is I want to think that if you, okay, this is, as we move forward, this is under the assumption that Kyrie Irving has also stayed in Boston. If Kyrie's leaving Boston, I would advise the Celtics against making this move. You've got to keep your young players and move forward with what you got. However, if Kyrie stays, you make a deal for AD, you're now in a pretty good spot. I still think that Boston needs Anthony Davis. I would. I think that Kyrie, Anthony Davis as your top two, Danny Ainge is the top GM or one of the top GMs in the league, I would be all over it.
Anthony Davis in Boston. So would you trade away Jason Tatum? Would you trade away Terry Rozier, assuming that you're keeping a guy like Kyrie Irving in the mix?
Yeah, and I think you would have to do what you can to get Rozier in the deal because it sounds like Rozier is not long for Boston as it is, especially, it is hard to talk about Boston because we don't know what Kyrie's doing. And if Kyrie leaves... or if he stays, I think that changes the whole mode of that franchise, whether or not they're in go mode or build mode. And so it really is just so difficult to talk about what Boston is going to do or what they should do. I think Jaylen Brown. You hold on to Tatum, you hold on to Hayward, you try to make a deal with Rozier and Jaylen Brown.
309-366-1600, let's get back to the NBA Finals. How nervous are you right now if you're the Toronto Raptors? Or are you confident that you're going to be able to close this thing out in the next two games? Can Kawhi Leonard win one of these two games?
Realistically, you have to be pretty confident, right? There's the sentimental sort of idea that, you know, the Warriors, you know, they fought really hard and they overcame losing KD and Kevon Looney once again, this time for good, from the sounds of it, both of them. You know, that was great and all. They were able to win the other night under those circumstances. But realistically, there's no way the Warriors win the series, right? You have to be pretty confident if you're the Raptors or if you're a Raptors fan.
I'm not. If I'm
really?
A Raptors fan. I had this discussion.
You're also not as a Blues fan.
You're like a mind reader. This is why I'm not.
Okay.
If I'm a Raptors fan, they're in the same situation,
uh-huh.
Right? They're going up against the NBA champions. They're going up against a team that, as much as you want to talk about how soft they are and how finesse they are, they're stone cold killers. They are a team that is used to responding to adversity no matter how much you want to deny that. And they did. I thought Steve Kerr was going to check into game five. I thought it was very close to happening.
That'd be pretty cool.
Because quite honestly, they had nothing left. And they're down six with 3 minutes to go. And everything looks like it is falling apart. And Toronto is at home, and Kawhi Leonard is unconscious. And they come back and they win the game. And now they have to go on the road to Oracle Arena and win a game six. And if they lose that, they're playing in a game seven against the NBA champion. Do you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the Boston and Cleveland series last year in the Eastern Conference Final, where Boston gets up 3-2. Series goes back to Cleveland. You knew they were going to lose that one. Then it goes back to Boston for a game seven. And you have LeBron James in a game seven against Boston.
You had your chance, and all of a sudden you're in a game seven against the world's greatest player. And that's why they say that if you're the Warriors, you know, it's cliche, but that is why you say you take these games one at a time. Because break it up like you just did, you win one game, and then all of a sudden you're in a game seven. And guess what? We've been here before. And so I see what you're saying. You swung me a little bit. I'm still pretty confident if I'm a Raptors fan, but you're totally right. All it takes is one game, and all of a sudden, bets are off.
0696. Alex also thought the Warriors would sweep and said that he would give the Raptors one game. This was after KD was said to be out for two games. We've already established this. I'm a moron, okay? Especially today. there nothing that I could possibly say you should believe. So basically, if you're betting out there, pick the Raptors. Because I just put the kiss of death on the Golden State Warriors. But I think that you're, to your point, you're feeling a lot better if you're Toronto because you know you have Kawhi Leonard. Right? Because you know you have that guy that in that moment, he's not going to be intimidated. He's not going to be intimidated by the champs. And one out of two shots, you are in a better position with your roster right now than the Warriors are, and you have that guy.
Yep. You've got, at this point, the Warriors are it's not only KD. You know, Kevon Looney had become an incredibly important part of that team. You're right. It's not only do you have Kawhi, but I think the big thing here is that you've got depth. You have bodies. And the Warriors just don't have
that.
They don't. Especially in the post, they're relying so heavily on Boogie Cousins right now, who I thought coming into this series could have been an interesting wrinkle. He could bring something interesting to the table, but they're not having to rely on him. And he, you know, he's a very skilled player. He showed flashes. He can play well in bursts, but, you know, the reality is he's also coming off a pretty big injury, and the conditioning is just not there.
He can't jump.
No.
He can't get off the floor. This is a guy who you talk about as one of the most skilled big men in the game. Not necessarily the most explosive athlete, but good enough athleticism to where he relies on his quickness and ability to get up off the floor for second chance opportunities, and he can't jump. So I give so much credit to him for his effort in that last con. He was really good in that game, despite the fact that he is really struggling. And if that's not proof right there of how you need to be very careful with Kevin Durant coming back from that very same injury, I don't know what is.
And I think what we just touched on, I think this whole Kevin Durant saga, I mentioned earlier that there's so much to unpack that comes with this discussion. I think that this is a great lesson. It's probably not going to happen like this, but I think teams around the league should look at what the Warriors did and, you know, take note of the idea of building a super team or building a team that, you know, has a few top heavy players, but you cannot overlook the depth because, you know, this is, you know, I'm not a doctor. I don't have evidence of this, but I'm just throwing out there that how do we know that Kevin Durant's workload didn't help make him susceptible to this injury? And furthermore, now that he is hurt, that team is crippled. The rotations on that team are crippled. They're in such a bad position. And so you look back at the Warriors and, you know, you already have Steph, you've got Klay, you've got Draymond, you have Iguodala coming off the bench. Do you really need to go out and spend $30 million on Kevin Durant, or do you think that maybe you could divvy that up and grab a few more players that you can throw out there? So if one of the guys that you really rely on goes out, it doesn't cripple you like this. I think that lesson needs to be noted around the league.
It's tough though, because on the other hand, you're seeing so many teams with this top heavy rotation, these super teams, go out and bring in a player for absolute specific roles for their one role that they contribute to that team. And I mean, the Golden State Warriors are full of those guys, right?
Yep.
Kevon Looney, Quinn Cook, they're pretty much their entire second unit. They are full of those. Draymond Green, for that matter, he has two very specific skills. He's very good at both of them, but that's how they're building their roster. You hope that you don't have three injuries to your three best players or four injuries to your four best players going into the NBA Finals, but I do tend to agree with you. Let's get to some of the texts. The 6717. The Warriors realistically could have been swept and in this series. All of that said, I am very nervous if I'm a Raptors fan. Never underestimate the championship experience of Steph, Klay, Draymond, etc., even with injuries. That's my entire point.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Experience cannot be overlooked, especially when, you know, you've got Kawhi on the Raptors sideline, but, you know, not the other experienced players on that team. You know, I'm thinking Kyle Lowry. He's experienced, sure. But what is Kyle Lowry? What does the casual NBA fan know Kyle Lowry for?
The fall guy for the Toronto Raptors.
Being awful every single year in the playoffs. That is, so you've got, you've really, from the experience standpoint, you've kind of got opposite ends of the spectrum here.
0696, Durant will never be the same. Look what happened to Kobe after he injured his Achilles. And that's what I'm looking at. You remember when the Lakers gave him that huge contract after he tore his Achilles?
Oh, yeah, I remember. It ruined the whole franchise.
It's the reason they're at where they're at right now.
Yeah, you're totally right.
It completely derailed their franchise.
That was, I mean,
I just remember that time
so
well.
You want to talk about getting greedy.
Yeah, I just remember that time so well because no one wanted to say a bad word about Kobe, even though he demanded that kind of money at the time. And I'm sitting here and I'm saying, okay, yeah, I get that you are one of the greatest players of our generation and what you've done for the Lakers is fantastic. Well, you're going to ask for a max contract now? are you serious?
After you ruptured your Achilles, dude.
At age 34. And after 16 years in the league.
You know what? That really was such a weird decision because, you know, from the Lakers' perspective, they're saying, you know, it's Kobe, we love you, you've done so much for us, of course we'll give you whatever you want. But if you, I wish we had a good analogy for this, but if I love this guy because I think he loves my organization so much, it doesn't add up to me that he's trying to bankrupt me right now. Like, he's asking me to do him a favor that's basically going to bring us financial ruin for the foreseeable future. That's kind of a tough ask. Like, I like you, Kobe, but you have done a lot. But
I'm gonna let you ruin my entire organization.
Yeah,
for your retirement.
It's not like he had never been paid before. The guy had been playing he'd been playing for what, 12, 13 years already? Longer.
16.
Longer.
16 seasons.
He had money. I don't know. I don't know.
That
was
sort of the beginning of the end of the severance package type contract. That was the beginning of the end of giving somebody a contract based on what they did, not what they were going to do. And I remember when he came back, and not so successfully, he was never the same player. They did the NBA top 100 players, and I think he was like 75th. And the Kobe fans, they are a strong,
passionate bunch.
Passionate group. I mean, they're more passionate about Kobe than I am about the St. Louis Blues, which is nearly impossible. But they were all over this writer for saying, yeah, he's the 75th best player in the game. Oh, 75th best player in the game. He's Kobe. It's Kobe. Yeah, he was not even the 75th best player in the game at that point in his career.
I believe that was for different reasons. I believe Melo had a similar situation where those rankings came out and everybody was like, Carmelo, I actually can't even remember if it was too high or too low, but those rankings can be goofy sometimes.
3-9-3-6-6-1600. Eye-opening is a good word for the first hour and a half of this show. What we're going to do right now, we're going to step aside. We'll come back. Sean Leahy is going to join us to preview Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. And then, or before that, Kyle is going to give you a big board update. More on the way. We'll finish out hour number two after this.
Families can test their skills together and the father-son parent-child best shot on Father's Day. This two-person best shot will be held at Amana Colonies Golf Club Sunday, June 16th. There are different divisions for each age range. Get 18 holes of championship golf, cart, practice balls, course contests, and prizes for only $75 plus tax per team. Payouts are based on the size of the field, and winners receive ACGC gift cards. Get your parent-child team together and call the Amana Colonies Golf Shop to sign up at 319-622-6222.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why Marvin Windows and Doors are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not big box stores. Marvin never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship.
At Alexander Lumber, we're proud to be a Marvin dealer. Visit us at 2802 Independence Road or at our Answers by Alexander showroom at 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Whether your project's below ground, above ground, or you're just breaking ground, United Rentals has the equipment and tools you need. We sell expertly maintained used equipment from forklifts and backhoes to scissor lifts and boom lifts. Visit us online to search our inventory of more than 4,000 equipment categories and get custom information on any unit. Visit unitedrentals.com/used today.
The Outlaws are coming. It's the World of Outlaws NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars. Don't miss a single lap of high-speed wing sprint car racing with the most daring drivers on dirt. Sunday, June 23rd, the Outlaws race back to Dubuque Fairgrounds for one huge night. Don't miss special guest Casey Kane signing autographs at 3:30 p.m. Plus, you can save $5 on general admission tickets at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get your tickets today at slspromotions.com.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our All Your Favorites with a Few Surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
After a thrilling come-from-behind win on Tuesday, Jose Barrios in the mound for the Twins in Game 2 on Wednesday. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
319-366-1600. 90 minutes to play with here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Alex Kuhn alongside Kyle Mann. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Todd is out for the day. And we are about to get to Sean Leahy of NBC Sports, and he's going to preview Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, something I've been trying to put off for 90 minutes of the show so far, but we can't get there before an Alexander Lumber Big Board update with Kyle Mann.
More from yesterday's basketball availability. Joe Wieskamp said it was his plan all along to return to school for his sophomore season, but he was not shy about the fact that he eventually wants to make it to the NBA. He didn't indicate he's got any sort of set timetable, but it'll definitely be a real discussion as soon as next season if he plays well. Luka Garza also said he's preparing to be able to extend his shot to the new three-point line. Fran McCaffrey mentioned that Jack Nungy's up over 250 pounds. Iowa junior Longi Tasuga is fresh off an NCAA title in the discus, as well as her third Big Ten title and third All-American distinction. She was named the 2019 Big Ten Field Athlete of the Year today. She's the 14th national champion in the program's history and now the second to receive this award. The Colonels returned home for the first time in 2 weeks last night. With only four games remaining in the first half, they've gotten hot as they fight for a wild card spot. Gabe Snyder homered twice in the 4-1 victory last night, and another big home run from Andrew Bechtold powered a 4-3 victory earlier today. The Colonels are 9-3 in the month of June and go for the sweep tomorrow at 6:30. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins and Mariners on the North Gym, but the Cup is on the line on the South and Main Gyms. The Blues and Bruins from Boston for all the marbles. Puck drops set for just minutes after we leave the air.
If you're planning on a home remodel or upgrading the windows in your home, check out the all-new Alexander Lumber window line. As Kyle mentioned, the Stanley Cup Final Game number 7 is on tap for this evening. Here to preview that, friend of the show, Sean Leahy, joins us at 5:35. Sean, nothing quite like a Game 7 in the NHL, is there?
No, not at all. And a lot of anticipation to this game since Sunday night, and I'm sure a lot of anxious fans in both St. Louis and Boston tonight, hoping that they're able to celebrate tonight and for the rest of the summer that they've won a championship.
Yeah, no anxious fans here, no anxious Blues fans in this studio except for the one talking to you right now. And I have to ask, I know there were a lot of dejected fans after that Game 6 performance, but it seems like a toss-up here this evening. Of course, Boston is going to go in the favorite, but the Blues have done a good job bouncing back and playing on the road this postseason.
Yeah, especially Jordan Binnington. He kind of has that good mindset of a goaltender to just erase it and move on to the next one. And really, the Blues mantra this whole season since Craig Berube took over is don't look back and just look forward and look to the next game. And that's what they've done all season, all playoffs, and what they're going to have to do tonight in order to beat the Bruins on home ice. And it might be, to me, I think it might be a little more relaxing of a game in a sense for the Blues because not playing at home, right? You're not feeling the nervousness and tension in the arena of your home fans if things are kind of tight. You're on the road. You take a business trip. Just go in, just hopefully score first and build off of that. Maybe silence the crowd a little bit and then and get going from there. So I think we're going to see a very tight game tonight.
You mentioned them possibly trying to score first, and that's not going to be an easy task against Tuukka Rask, who I thought absolutely stole that game in periods one and two of game five. Are we approaching territory where Tuukka Rask may be named the Conn Smythe Award winner, regardless of who wins this series?
Yeah, I think we're there. I mean, if you look at his performance throughout this entire postseason, because it's not just the final, he has not had one game where he's posted a sub-900 save percentage. He's been that good, that consistent for the Bruins. And like you said, the other night in Game 6, he was fantastic. I mean, he's not one of those flashy, athletic goaltenders like a Jonathan Quick or Marc-Andre Fleury. He's just really strong positionally, very, very good at being able to see the puck through traffic, and obviously gets a little help from that from his defense. But he's just been fantastic, and really, a couple of days ago I heard this talk build up, and I looked into it, and to me, I'm fully on board with if Rask does, if the Bruins end up losing, it wouldn't shock me if he does end up being voted most valuable player of the playoffs.
Matt Grizzlick went down in game number two after that hit from Oscar Sundquist. He is eligible he cleared concussion protocol. He will most likely play tonight. How big of a lift is this for Boston?
It's going to be huge if he can get in. He's a guy who is a very good puck mover from the back, something that certainly any team would like this time of year. And also there's a kind of a personal story for him. He grew up not far from here at TD Garden. His dad is actually on the ice crew. When they change over the arena from basketball to hockey, he's actually been working here for, I believe, 50 years. His brother works on the ice crew as well. So it's a bit of a family affair for the Grizzlies this series. And it would be really, a great story if he's able to play and the Bruins are able to win on home ice and he can celebrate with his dad and his brother who are right there.
On the flip side, what have you made of the way that Ryan O'Reilly has elevated his game here in the Stanley Cup final for the Blues?
Ryan O'Reilly has been a very elite player for a very long time, and it's great that he's able to be on this big of a stage and more people can see just how good he's been. I know he toiled in Buffalo the last couple of years and was at West in Colorado, so maybe not a lot of people were familiar with his game, but as you've seen in this series and these playoffs, he really is the engine that drives the Blues. Just with his strong two-way play, he's such a good player defensively and did a great job in helping shut down the Bruins' top line earlier in the series and really limiting that top line of Bergeron, Pastrnak, and Marchand to really just get their opportunities on the power play. So he's just a fantastic player. And to me, if there's a player, if the Blues win, and then if there's a player, if Rask doesn't win the Conn Smythe, if the Blues end up winning, I think O'Reilly is the guy who's going to take home the trophy.
It's interesting because you mentioned that perfection line that they call it, the top line of the Boston Bruins, was really held in check 5-on-5 throughout the series, and it seems like they've gotten going 5-on-5 when they've had a lot of power play opportunities. They got that 5-on-3. Brad Marchand scored the first goal of that game. Is the key for the Blues the same key that they've had? Stay out of the penalty box.
Yeah, and look, they've done a lot better job of that since the first two games where they took 10 penalties and really put themselves in a deep hole, especially in game one. They've gotten smarter. And look, a lot of those penalties early on were stick fouls. It wasn't like they were hitting guys in the head or taking roughing calls. They were just, slashing or puck over glass or things like that. So they've been smart about their physical game, which certainly we've seen through over the course of six games where they played very physical, matching the Bruins style as well. So especially in the game, especially in the game seven, right, you want to stay out of the penalty box. I mean, there's probably going to be very few penalties, if at all, called in game seven because the referees tend to swallow their whistles in games of this magnitude. So any one or two power plays that they're going to give the Bruins is going to be vital in order, they're going to have to kill them off.
Well, having said that, there have been a couple of suspensions in this series, both from fourth line players for the St. Louis Blues. Oscar Sundquist was suspended for that hit on Matt Grizzlick. Ivan Barbashev was suspended after a hit he had in game number five. With that sort of out the window, and like you said, the officials possibly swallowing their whistles, is there that sort of sour chance that things could get chippy tonight?
I don't think so. I mean, there's way too much on the line.
Right.
Even in like those post-whistle scrums where they always kind of take one guy, like the retaliatory guy. I think both players know that they can't be stupid tonight. I mean, maybe the referees might swallow the whistles tonight, but they're not going to not call obvious. You know, you punch a guy in the face, the referees aren't going to let that go if they see it, for as much as they've missed this series. So the players know that they have to be smart because, like I said, any one or two power plays that are given are going to be huge because in games like this, you can just tell it's probably going to be a tight game, probably a one or two goal game for the most part. It's nobody wants to make a mistake. Nobody wants to be the guy who gives away this series. So I think we're going to see some smart hockey tonight and nothing stupid. Now if the game gets crazy out of hand, like 6-7 nothing, who knows? Maybe there'll be some stupid stuff, but I can't see it happening at least early on.
I was going to say, all indications, a lot of people, the people predicting what's going to happen in this game, low scoring, tight checking, is that what you're expecting as well?
Yeah, we've gotten great goaltending from both guys throughout this series. I think it's going to be 3-1 Bruins with a late empty netter. I think Bennington's going to keep them in this game for a long time, but I think the Bruins, the fact that they're playing in front of their home crowd, they're going to be a little bit amped by that, and also the fact that they have those five veterans who are on the 11 Cup team and 13 Cup team, have that experience of playing in a big game. They'll be able to help settle down those guys, the younger guys in their locker room, if things get tight and kind of nervy here. So they have the experience of playing through those types of situations and can help their teammates. Whereas the Blues, they don't have guys like that. I think a lot's going to be determined by Bennington and how he plays and if he's able to have another one of his bounce back games.
Keys for both teams for coming out on top tonight.
Well, certainly scoring first helps you a lot, like you said earlier. Staying disciplined, like I said, it's going to be tightly called if there's a lot of calls at all. But also, I think the Blues, what they kind of got away from in Game 6 was, and give credit to the Bruins, but establishing that forecheck and really getting the pucks in deep, playing physical, on the boards and forcing turnovers in the O zone. The Bruins did a good job of getting the puck out of the zone quickly. That's why if they have a guy like Grizzly back in, that's huge for them, where if pucks get in, they can get him out quickly and transition up ice with their stud forwards and create scoring opportunities.
Sean Lay joining us to preview Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. Thank you so much for joining us, and enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
5:44. Yes, he picked the Bruins. I feel much better now.
You do.
I feel much better.
That's what you needed.
That's what I needed.
Just a little pessimism.
He
outside pessimism shocked you of your own.
He picked the Bruins in six, so that's not going to come true. So now picking the Bruins in seven, hopefully that doesn't come true. No, I can't lie. Nothing's going to make me feel better until except for the conclusion of this game.
You're probably starting to feel it in your stomach.
Not really.
Really?
Not yet.
Just about an hour out, dude.
I can't feel any more in my stomach than I've already felt the last couple days. I really can't.
Yeah, no more about the burrito.
Oh, no. It had. Oh, man, I have to, I gotta give you a ding on that one.
Thank you.
What we need to do right now, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll get you... You know what? Let's do it right now. Jackson has joined us on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. He is our producer today. Thank you, Jackson, for stepping in a pinch. And let's give caller number 6 that Mulligan's $30 gift card, as we're going to be at Mulligan's next Thursday for the KGYM radio road trip on Thursdays. They have their happy hour, which is daily, but then after 6, half-price wings. So caller number 6 to 319-366 1600 is going to win that $30 gift certificate to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We'll step aside. We'll come back. More on the way after this.
If you build it, he will come.
This Father's Day, join the Colonels for Field of Dreams Day at the ballpark. The first 1,000 fans will receive a souvenir baseball, and fans can meet Dwyer Brown, who played John Kinsella in the movie. All kids 12 and under eat free every Sunday thanks to Western Fraternal Life. All fans are welcome to enjoy a game of catch in the outfield and run the bases as part of Prairie Farms Run the Bases Sunday after the game. Get tickets at colonels.com.
Twins opening up at long last a lengthy 9-game homestand and what turned out to be a lovely night at Target Field. Game one of a 3-game series, Twins and the Mariners. Martin Perez for the Twins and Mike Leake, veteran throwing well of late, opposing for Seattle. Twins were down early in this game. A 2-out, 3-run homer from a guy who has done that many times at this ballpark. Edwin Encarnacion briefly gave the Mariners a 3-0 lead. Twins answered back with three of their own in the fourth on back-to-back home runs. Jonathan Scope, a 2-run homer, then a game-tying blast way out of here to right by Jason Castro, his eighth, and the game was tied 3-3. But then the Mariners came back, scored a run in the fifth inning to make it 4-3, scored again in the seventh, and it was a 5-3 game heading into the home half of the eighth inning. The Twins then rally against a shaky Mariner bullpen. The answer was yes. Good start, leadoff double, Max Kepler. Then Jorge Polanco drove in Kepler to make it a 5-4 game. After walk to Nelson Cruz, pitching change as Brennan came out, Austin Adams came in. Eddie Rosario had a deep fly to left. It was caught by Mac Williamson near the wall. Yes, it was an out, but Polanco able to advance and take third. But then Miguel Sano batting. And during his at-bat, a wild pitch was thrown by Adams. That scored Polanco from third base, and that tied the game at five, moving Nelson Cruz, by the way, down to second. Sano's at-bat ended with a strikeout, so Cruz still at second, two outs in a 5-5 game with Marwin Gonzalez at the plate. And the 1-1 pitch, ground ball, sharply right side, base hit right field. Here comes the boomstick rounding third. He will score. Twins lead 6-5. Marwin had a tough night before that. His first three at-bats, struck out all three times, but delivers a big go-ahead RBI single, scoring Nelson Cruz to make it 6-5. Trevor May had the ninth inning, seeking his first save and a shaky start for May. Back-to-back singles to Smith and Santana, but then he struck out. Edwin Encarnacion looking after Daniel Vogelback popped out. A lengthy at-bat with Kyle Seager before he popped out to left. And the Twins win, but the second time all year when trailing after seven, 6-5 the final on a thrilling Tuesday night at Target Field. The win to Matt McGill, who really needed a clean inning. He did that in the eighth inning, his second win this season. Made the save his first, the sixth different Twin to save at least one game so far this year. Home run barrage continues. Two more. The Twins now up to 127, and that now overtakes the Mariners for the sole possession of that spot. In fact, now the Twins and Mariners are tied for that lead throughout Major League Baseball. 127 home runs from Scope and Castro in the win as well. Twins win 6-5, now 44-21 on the year. From Target Field, Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Good losers gamble to have fun. They know losing is part of the game. In fact, good losers plan on it. And they never lose more than they can afford. Good losers know when to stop. If you're a good loser, you sleep no problem. But if you can't sleep, if your losses hurt too much, we can help. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.org and find out once and for all, are you a good loser? Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
Oh, wow, Bob, that's a lot of work.
What?
You're waxing your car the old-fashioned way. Why?
Because I want the look, the protection, you know.
Well, now there's a better way. 303 Touchless Sealant. Spray on and rinse off. You're done in minutes. And it lasts longer than the wax you'll be pushing around your hood all afternoon.
Sold. 303 Touchless Sealant it is. Hey, where are you going?
Everywhere, Bob. It's a beautiful day. 303 Touchless Sealant. All the protection and shine in no time. Now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hulu's paying Tobin Heath, Carly Lloyd, Mallory Pugh, and other U.S. soccer stars a lot of money to do a new goal celebration called Hulu Has Live Sports. Why? It's simple. Because Hulu has live sports. You can watch the biggest games and sporting events like the Women's World Cup this summer on 60-plus top channels. No cable required. Plus, you can stream the entire Hulu library. Start your free trial of Hulu today. Live TV plan required. Restrictions apply. Learn more at Hulu.com.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge. For the exact same high-speed networks, it's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Guys, the secret is out.
If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
This is the NBA Finals. The Warriors survive elimination and force Game 6 in Oakland.
Coverage begins Thursday night at 7 here on The Gym, KGYM.
552. Congratulations to Steve in Cedar Rapids, who is the winner of our $30 gift certificate to Mulligan's Pub. 319-366-1600. Just a few more minutes left in hour number two. Hour number three, we're going to get to a little Iowa basketball audio. Fran McCaffrey, Joe Wieskamp, and Luca Garza spoke to the media yesterday in Iowa City, and you're going to hear from all three of them coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Still time to vote in our Emil's Hideaway poll question. It is available at kgymradio.com. It's very simple. Who wins the Stanley Cup final? It's a game seven. Who wins tonight, St. Louis or Boston? Let's check the results. And right now, Boston leads the way with, let's see, just over half the vote, 55% of the vote. So still a little bit tight. That's
tightly contested.
That's exactly what I think the Vegas odds makers gave this game, 55-45. 55 Boston, 45 St. Louis. So we will see what happens. Kyle, in hour number three of the program, is going to get you a big board update, and it's going to be brought to you by Alexander Lumber. They're still in their temporary location at 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City. They're going to be opening up their permanent location very, very soon. Little interesting news out of college basketball today, Kyle. Why don't you lay this one out here for our listeners?
Yeah, it's the terminology's weird, I guess, to lead into this, because it's not exactly news on its own. It's just news that news is coming. This from Dennis Dodd at CBS Sports. He says at least six Division I men's basketball programs will receive notices of allegations for Level 1 violations from the NCAA by the summer. And that stems from the federal government's recently completed investigation of the sport. We've talked about it on and off, but more specifically, what you could probably wait for, and the thing that we're going to get first, is that Stan Wilcox, he's the VP for Regulatory Affairs in the NCAA, he says that two high-profile programs will receive notices of allegations by early July. So we're going to have two major programs receiving Level 1 violations in the coming weeks. And if you recall, Level 1 violations, we discussed that term here on KGYM fairly recently in reference to Bon Chimansky. We learned that means, you know, it is violations that seriously undermine or threaten the integrity of the NCAA collegiate model.
Well, yeah, I mean, in the
we know what they are.
They're paying players.
Yeah, we know what it is.
If it stems from the FBI,
yeah,
and it's a Level 1 violation, it's because they're paying players. Now, Louisville and LSU? Is Kansas going to be implicated? Is Auburn going to be implicated? Is Arizona going to be implicated?
Oklahoma State, USC, LSU, Arizona.
Are those, I'm trying to think of the two that high profile that are going to receive Level 1 violations, LSU and Arizona?
The one,
right?
That would be a good guess. Although, did Sean Miller's at Arizona, did his case kind of come and go?
It did,
because there were wiretaps released in a courtroom. I know Sean Miller may have survived that. My guess,
Louisville and LSU.
I almost wonder if Kansas is going to be one of them. There's been a lot of smoke around Kansas for a long time.
Well, they just let Sylvia D'Souza come back, even though wiretaps caught people talking about paying him. But we'll see what the NCAA does.
The LSU one is the most interesting to me, because
they have to be one of them.
They have to be one of those two. He said the kid's name, and they've found a lot of ways to work around.
It's a strong ass offer.
Yeah, there's how these, you know, Sean Miller, Will Wade, how these guys are weaseling themselves out of trouble even after wiretaps have come out. I am not, you know, well versed in legalities to know how that is happening.
Well, they haven't been charged with anything by the NCAA, so that's why they're doing it. Now the NCAA has to come in and say, yeah, we can't allow Will Wade to continue coaching at LSU. They have to be one of them. So we'll keep tabs on that, and it'll be just another topic that's going to hit here in June, usually when things are winding down. We're just a couple of weeks away from our countdown to kickoff before we head to Big Ten Media Day.
We've almost made it through the slow time. Here in just about, what did you say, two and a half weeks, we're going to
We're revving the engine back up, and it's college football time.
Yeah, in 2 weeks, we're almost to college football, which
almost,
which is all the reason we need to start talking about college football.
309-366-1600, final break of hour number two, and we'll come back, wrap things up, and send you to hour number three.
At $50,000 vehicle, 55, vehicle 5.
At Mecum Collector Car Auctions, you've got to think fast and know your numbers, year, mileage, and 303 speed detailer. 303 cleans, shines, and protects instantly. We need every car's finish looking its best to command the highest bid. I use 303 speed detailer at home, too, to keep my car's finish looking new and lasting longer. Powerful UV blockers help prevent cracking and fading, and it's great for use between washes. 303 speed detailer, available at AutoZone.
Last call, sold.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
After a thrilling come-from-behind win on Tuesday, Jose Barrios in the mound for the Twins in Game 2 on Wednesday. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
The Twins will be on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. First place Twins, and on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 1600 AM, the main gym. We'll have Westwood One's coverage of Game 7, the final game of the NHL season. Winner take all as far as who gets to hoist the Stanley Cup. The St. Louis Blues and the Boston Bruins are gridlocked at three games apiece in their series. They are at the TD Garden in Boston to decide who hoists the Stanley Cup. Still time to vote in our poll question, our Emil's Hideaway poll question at kgymradio.com. Who wins the Stanley Cup game number 7 tonight? Is it St. Louis or Boston? It's pretty tight right now, 50-50 as the voting has changed. So you have until 7 o'clock to vote. I think that game will get the opening puck will be dropped right around 7:20. They say 7 o'clock. The NHL is very weird about start times. They usually start about 20 minutes after they say they're going to start. Very strange. So we'll pick up coverage at 7. Puck drop at 7:20. So hour number two is in the books. We'll have our podcast available at kgymradio.com following the conclusion of the show. 1 hour to go. Iowa basketball audio on the way. Fran McCaffrey, Luca Garza, Joe Wieskamp here from the mall in just a few minutes.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Kevin Durant of the Warriors confirms today he did tear his right Achilles in Game 5 of the NBA Finals. Durant had surgery today. The Raptors lead the series 3-2. Game 6 in Oakland tomorrow night. Coverage starts at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ABC, and the ESPN app. ESPN has learned the Lakers and Celtics are talking with the Pelicans about making a trade for Anthony Davis. The Celtics are not deterred by the fact that Davis does not want to go to Boston. League sources believe New Orleans is hoping to trade Davis before next week's NBA draft. The St. Louis Blues are hoping to follow the Washington Capitals, who won their first Stanley Cup last year. The Blues will celebrate their first with a win in Game 7 tonight in Boston. To do that, the Blues probably need to stay out of the penalty box. The Bruins' power play is connecting at 30% in the final. The U.S. women's national team is hearing the criticism about scoring 13 goals against Thailand and about celebrating those goals. Alex Morgan scored 5 of them and spoke with ESPN's Julie Foudy.
I couldn't have dreamt of scoring 5 goals in a World Cup. So it's incredible for us all. And I'm happy just ignoring those comments.
At the Women's World Cup today, France beats Norway 2-1. Authorities in the Dominican Republic now say six suspects have been arrested in the shooting of former Red Sox DH David Ortiz. A seventh suspect is still at large. One of the suspects in custody is the alleged coordinator of the attack.
The Los Angeles Dodgers and the Chicago Cubs. Live from Dodger Stadium this weekend. Coverage begins Saturday at 8 Eastern and Sunday at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
Ted here, dialing in from Denver.
Kenzie and the Chicago team dialing in.
Okay, let's get started.
Ted's in charge of this project. He's a total goober. And what's with the haircut?
Guys, can definitely hear you. Like, really good reception.
Conference calls, no-brainer. The mute button. Barbasol's no-brainer. Finally making razors to go along with America's favorite shaving cream. Try Barbasol's Ultra 6 Plus razor with six ultra-thin blades for a close, comfortable shave.
Barbasol.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. The perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Welcome to the High Life. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
After a thrilling come-from-behind win on Tuesday, Jose Berríos in the mound for the Twins in Game 2 on Wednesday. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Hour number 3 as some clouds continue to roll through Cedar Rapids. Have we checked the forecast recently? I know that there are some storms.
Ooh.
Sort of in the area.
That one is
rolling
dark.
Through eastern Iowa, and this time of year you get some spot pop-up thunderstorms. Some of them can be severe, so we will keep an eye on things as the night progresses, but no rain on the ground. It's been sort of spritzing on and off today as Jackson joins us here on the
other
side of the glass.
Shows up with a pizza.
Shows up with a full pizza. Man, I am so jealous right now, Jackson. I want that pizza. Although I'm probably not going to
You got to take it easy on your stomach,
Alex. I'm not going to be able to eat dinner. I can't eat dinner. I will
at all?
Throw up dinner.
What?
I need to eat like some saltine crackers, maybe drink a Pedialyte. That's going to be my dinner tonight.
Pedialyte was, it used to get, I heard that it can be used as a life hack in certain, morning after situations.
You've heard?
I've never
you're
used.
You're kidding me.
No, a Pedialyte, Pedialyte's for children, right?
No, I mean, yeah, but like they don't even advertise for children anymore. They make it very, very clear who their target audience is.
I've never tried it.
Have you seen the advertisement on Twitter from Pedialyte where it's like if you're tailgating and have a few too many beers, drink a Pedialyte, and it's a cooler with ice packed with Pedialyte.
Oh my goodness.
It's like they're not even trying to advertise their main target audience was, which was little kids who were sick and couldn't eat food.
That would be a fun marketing meeting to be in. How do we appeal to small children and hungover drunks?
Well, and then finally they must have been like the small children will take care of itself. We don't need to market to them. Let's just market to the adults. Because just go on their page and look at their advertising and tell me who they're marketing to, because it is not two-year-old kids anymore. 319-366-1600. You were in Iowa City yesterday as the storms start to roll into Cedar Rapids and eastern Iowa. Some pop-up showers and pop-up thunderstorms on the way through. But you were in Iowa City yesterday. A lot of notable things said by the three people that were available to the media: Fran McCaffrey, Luca Garza, and Joe Wieskamp.
Yeah, there was, nothing. It's never hard news this time of year, but you get those little tidbits. And like I've been saying on my big board is, sitting there listening to Joe Wieskamp, he was asked if there was ever an inkling to keep his name in the draft a little bit longer. And, he did say that the plan all along was to come back, But he also did mention that, you know, there was a possibility that, you know, maybe he would have, he could have kept it in longer. And it became very, very clear that, you know, it is something that is on his mind and on his mind right now. It was.
He wants to get to the NBA.
Yeah, he's very much going to be taking this as, you know, a one year at a time situation where if he performs well next year and, you know, he thinks he might be ready to go, he's not going to be restricted by any sort of sentimental, you know, I got to graduate or, you know, I want to make sure that I carry the Iowa Hawkeyes to a Sweet 16 or anything. You know, it's not going to be anything like that. Joe Wieskamp is a future pro. He knows it, and he is preparing to, you know, to have his career progress along those lines.
I had sort of speculated. We speculated on that during the season where you see a 6'6 wing. A guy like Joe Wieskamp, athleticism for the NBA level, it's going to be average.
It's good enough.
It's good enough for that level.
What he makes up, he's got long arms.
Has bounce to a little bit of bounce to his game. I didn't say surprising bounce. That's not what I meant. I can't do this anymore.
He's
deceptively fast and
deceptively
athletic.
Deceptively
vertical. Good shot.
No,
first one in, last. No, okay, I'm done.
High motor.
Can we just cut this off? Off right now.
He's ready. He's a good player though.
So, is there a chance next year where we're looking at Joe Wieskamp as a guy who may be doing more than testing the NBA waters if this season goes, if he shows market improvement in the areas that he got an evaluation on?
You know, I would have to think so, because you look at him and you see the potential already. And the thing that you know, is working in his favor insofar as, you know, in regards to getting to the league as quickly as possible, something that is working in his favor that I don't know if he, you know, would have been expecting this to be the case. Jordan Bohannon is not going to be playing next year. Fran McCaffrey, you know, made it very clear that, you know, it's going to be a long time before we even get to speculate whether or not he'll be back in time for this season, which to me translates to this guy's not going to play next year. And, you know, that turns things over. That's going to be Joe Wieskamp's team next year. And, you know, I don't know how many shots Bakari Evelyn's going to be getting tonight. You know, they're going to be working it down low to Luka Garza, but, you know, pretty much in general terms, that is Joe Wieskamp's team next year. And he is a very good player. And so that opens up the opportunity for him to look pretty good, to show teams that he's a good player. And he might be a very appealing draft prospect by the time we've completed another season.
309-366-1600. We will hear from Joe Wieskamp the second half of the hour, along with Luka Garza, who met with the media yesterday in Iowa City. But first, Fran McCaffrey. I thought this was going to be a very interesting media availability with Fran, and he was very candid in a lot of his answers about a lot of hot button topics that are going on with his basketball program right now. So for example, the Jordan Bohannon situation. How are they going to handle that? The 3-point line being moved back. Joe Wieskamp being more assertive. Will he play his son Patrick McCaffrey right away, or will he redshirt him? How does the point guard position sort of shape out? And a lot more, including Billy Taylor being hired on as his new assistant coach. So we're going to hear from Fran yesterday, and you're going to hear him tackle all of those topics.
Fran, how's Jordan doing?
He's doing great. I mean, obviously, he's still in some discomfort, still in crutches, but that's about where he was supposed to be. Surgery went well. He's, you know, taking his time with his rehab, which is what he should be doing. It's great that he's here, spending some time with the kids.
Is it kind of like a wait and see whether he'll play or not? Just kind of.
Yeah,
how
and it's
going to
take a long time.
Yeah. How do you prepare for that then, not knowing one way or the other whether you'll have him or won't have him?
You proceed. If he's not here, which he won't be for a while, mm-hmm. Proceed without him. And prepare for him not to be playing. His focus right now needs to be on one thing, and that's getting better. He can't be worried about coming back or when he's coming back. We won't put that pressure on.
Your thoughts on the 3-point line going back, and how are you guys going to benefit from that?
You know, it's going to take time to adjust. It's a pretty substantial amount of
inches, if you think about it. I mean, they already moved it once. I didn't see a dramatic difference there. This is, I think, more dramatic in terms of length. And it's the second one. So you look at some of our guys and say to yourself, well, it shouldn't affect them. They shoot from way out. We've got a few of those. You know, some guys are a little closer to the line. We just got to get in the gym and get a lot of shots up from that distance and then play with it and get the feel of it.
Will it help interior-wise, maybe open some things up?
Well, I think that was the plan when you institute a rule change like that. What are you trying to accomplish? You know, freedom of movement and then also more low-post play. And we're pretty good in that area, so hopefully that will help Luka, Ryan, Jack, and Cordell.
In some ways, Joe kind of deferred maybe to some of his older teammates. He did take shots, but you expect him to be more assertive, especially within the offense.
You know, I felt like he was a guy that we went to, that he was confident. We just had other guys as well. Without Jordan, without Tyler, stands to reason he might get a few more looks. But in terms of green light opportunities, I mean, he had as many last year as he'll have this year.
No big change for him, but what's the plan for Patrick going into this season?
Right now would be to play him. You know, if we get closer to the season, we feel like it's going to benefit him to redshirt. We'll see where he is weight-wise. He's getting a lot stronger. He's been lifting. His game is at a really good place. So he might be a valuable piece that we decide, and obviously he'll have some input into that decision, what he thinks is best for him. And we're just excited that he's here. He's playing really well right now.
How much of an adjustment is it, the workouts for Patrick? Obviously he's spent a long time around you and the collegiate level already.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in the gym for these workouts since he's been in fourth grade. So, and I think in addition to that, he knows all the guys. He's played against them in high school, or played against them in open gym situations. So it's very comfortable. It's not been any kind of adjustment. It's been pretty seamless, actually.
Without Jordan, how does point guard shape up?
Pretty simple, really. I mean, obviously you have Connor and Joe Toussaint, and those two guys will handle it. Should we get somebody else, that person might be able to fill in as well. But versatility is what we're looking for there. We've got some flexibility. CJ Frederick can also play that position. CJ is a really good shooter. We could swing Joe into the backcourt if we needed to. So we've got a lot of options there.
What about Cordell and Jack Nungey coming off redshirt years? What kind of impact do you expect them to have?
Big. Both of them are really good players. And Cordell has already proven he's incredibly effective, especially with Tyler gone. Jack's now over 250 pounds, really shooting the ball well. His power moves inside have been really impressive. He can stretch the floor. Cordell's a little bit of a different player. You can run the offense through him in the low post because he's such a good passer. Great screener. And Jack can run at 6'11". And both of those guys can score. So a lot of times when you have four post guys who can score, that's a really good thing because a lot of teams don't have that.
What do you expect out of Joe this year, his second year?
I expect him, as great as he was, to be better. He's really in a great place physically, I think, from a confidence standpoint. He knows what to expect. Put a tough schedule in front of him. We're going to challenge him to be a guy that can help us and can carry us. And I think he's ready for that opportunity.
Is it fair to expect that the biggest jump takes place after that first year to the second year, just because of the failure?
Well, I think it's fair to say, but it's also dependent upon how the first year goes. Sometimes the first year doesn't go like you thought, and so that second year is a little harder. But he was on the all-rookie team, and he made big shots and big games right into the NCAA tournament. He's got that makeup that I think enables him to be great early, right off the bat, and then I think understand he now has to take another step, which he will.
He needs to be a leader now, right? But he said it's not
really normal for him. Yeah, You'll look at him and say, well, he's a quiet kid. Can he lead? But, I mean, I watched him lead in high school. He took that team to the state tournament, put them on his back, and those guys played hard, and he was great with them. You know, he's a team guy. He'll be a guy that when he speaks in the locker room, people are going to listen to him.
You brought back Billy as an assistant after he'd been here for a few years ago. What does he bring to the program, and was there ever any consideration of bringing somebody who hadn't worked with you before?
There was a lot of consideration to look at a lot of different people. I didn't know if Billy would want to do it. You know, he's a head coach. You know, moved his family down to North Carolina, but he really enjoyed his time here. He grew up in the Chicago area, you know, went to Notre Dame, he's a Midwest guy. And we worked very well together, known each other a long time. He's spectacular in every way, and that's what I'm looking for, the guy that can recruit, can coach, can teach, really understands how to relate to players on the team, help them with skill development, represent the program in a professional way when he goes to speak and interact with other people. He's as professional as they come.
How much of a bonus is it, though, that he can also come in and basically hit the ground running because he knows how you do
things? I think, you know, at this level, at this institution, the fact that he's familiar with everything and everybody is going to be really helpful to this program and to our staff, because we, you know, lost a guy who'd been here for 9 years, bringing in a guy who knows exactly what to do.
All kinds of things to unpack there, but first, for those of you who have been waiting, it's time now to give away our $30 gift certificate to Mulligan's Pub. We already gave that away. What about our Freedom Festival prize pack? Listen all week, and we will give away 4 Freedom Festival buttons, 2 Freedom Festival t-shirts to lucky caller number 6. It's a $50 value. Caller number 6 right now, Jackson, is going to get you hooked up with the Freedom Festival prize pack on a Wednesday. Plenty of great content coming your way the rest of the week, and we will get to that after we break down what Fran McCaffrey, we just heard from Fran McCaffrey. Like I said, a lot to unpack there, but it just sort of seems at this point there's no real point in expecting or thinking that Jordan Bohannon will be playing next season at all.
No, because when that report came out that he's going to have that surgery and he's going to be cutting it close, you know, I think it was said that if he's not ready to go, you know, in the exhibition season, then it sounded like he didn't want to come back mid-season and only play for half a
right.
year. And not to, you know, I don't say this as a, you know, as a shot or anything, but you would have to wonder if he weren't able to make it back to the team until about a month or so into the season, you know, I don't know how good this team is going to look. You might look at this team and say, you know, do we want to waste Bohannon's final year this year with this team, or do we want to try to run it back next year with what could be a pretty strong roster?
The other thing that he talked about, the three-point line being moved back, this is going to be interesting to me because Iowa's a pretty good three-point shooting team. I'm not sure it's really going to affect their range at all, especially Jordan Bohannon. Whenever he does come back, I don't think he's going to be affected one bit by the extra space that, or the extra distance that he's going to have to shoot from. Joe Wieskamp, probably not. My question is, I think that one of the things that people are not realizing, the main reason they moved the three-point line back is to create more space, to create less congestion in the lane. And this is going to be interesting for a team that struggles defensively to have to cover even more space than they already have.
It's a good point. I hadn't really even thought about it like that, but you're totally right. This rule change has been viewed as kind of a concession that, oh, the basketball has become so three heavy, we might as well just back the lineup. But you're totally right. This was done basically as a countermeasure to that, to try to bring some of that inside post play back. And I think offensively, that's very much going to help a guy like Luka Garza, you know, like Ryan Kreener, or even a Jack Nungi, like Fran said. But
Caleb Wesson of Ohio State is going to be a monster with the new rules.
Defensively, hadn't even thought about it like that yet, but you're totally right. They don't really have... Okay, I'm going to go on the record as Jack Nungi could be a huge X factor next season, but as of now, the guys that we've seen playing, you would have to wonder who's going to be the guy, you know, protecting the backside down low.
He also got into the expectations for Joe Wieskamp next season. And we discussed that a little bit, Kyle, but are we looking at a guy with the upside to be a program changer, to be a game-changing type player? Because he was so good last year, but he fit into that second, third scorer role. And he's a guy who lets the game come to him. He's not overly aggressive. He doesn't force things. Unless you really tell him to, he's going to have to be the guy this year in the backcourt. Are we jumping the gun too much? Is it wishful thinking for Iowa fans to think he can be that guy, or can he be that guy in his second year?
Well, to say whether or not he'll be successful at doing it is just, you know, that would be speculation. All I can say is that after being there and listening to him speak yesterday, Joe Wieskamp is a guy who is ready for that responsibility. Whether or not, you know, it's only June right now. None of us could say whether or not he'll be able to do it. You know, I think he's got the skill set to do it. But what I'm telling you is I believe he has the mentality. He's mentally in the right place, I think. He's not going to be afraid of that challenge. And, you know, it's cliche to say, but I think that is the first step, is having the confidence to know you are the guy and you can have the freedom to, you know, to step up, to assert yourself whenever you really want to. And I get the impression that he is there. It has been communicated to him that he is going to be that guy, and he seems ready to do it.
We didn't get to this, so let's get to it right now. Fran McCaffrey had some things to say about the challenges of this offseason and how many guys left the program. Isaiah Moss, Tyler Cook, Jordan Bohannon is injured. This is a tough offseason, and Maishi Daly transferred. So three transfers, a big injury, and a key loss to graduation in Nicholas Bear. But most importantly about the transfers, he was asked, what are the challenges of having so many guys coming and going? Is this the new norm? And he was also asked about Isaiah Moss, as it broke yesterday, that Moss will be attending Kansas for his fifth or his final year of eligibility. Here's what Fran had to say about those things.
How do you attack the challenge of so many moving pieces in college basketball?
Well, I think it's
guys coming and going.
The new normal.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you just try to deal with it as best you can.
And,
you know, roster management at the conclusion of the season is becoming increasingly more important for everybody. It's just something that we'll deal with. And for the most part, I think people who come here for the right reasons. They enjoy playing here. We treat them with respect and give them a great opportunity. And they're typically happy. Some guys want to play more. You know, the whole grad transfer thing is a different world for a lot of people, but it's kind of what we're used to now, and especially in our league, there's quite a few grad transfers, both out and in, and you know, so there's opportunity for some players that are looking for something different, and you try to find the right fit, and the critical thing is if you're going to go the transfer route or the grad transfer route is bringing somebody who fits our culture and fits a need on our team, not just go get a guy just to have another body, because that never works. So we're pretty particular when we enter into that market.
Is that what it was for Isaiah, just looking for a different fit? What do you think of a man up by Kansas?
You know, I've said this before. I mean, I love the kid. You know, really root for him. He was a really good player for us for 3 years. I hope it works out for him. Good friends of Coach Self. I think he'll be good for him. You know, just rooting for him. That's all.
6:25, Fran McCaffrey in Iowa City earlier yesterday. We're going to hear from Joe Wieskamp and Luca Garza in just a second. And I do like sort of what he said about transfers. You have to adjust. Yes, you may not like it. Yes, it is going to make your job a whole hell of a lot more difficult. But there are two things you can do. you can complain about it, or you can try to adjust to it. And the first thing, the first option there, it doesn't do you much good. If you sit there and complain about it too much, it does you no good. And you see guys like Tubby Smith not being able to get a job now because of that. And Fran, I think it's gotten to the point with a lot of these coaches where you just have to figure it out. You have to realize that it's, like he said, the new norm and work around it.
That's such a good lesson that, honestly, I wish I could have understood as a kid. But, you know, you can take time to throw a fit and complain and tell everybody how much you hate something, but, you know, that doesn't do any good at all. You nailed it. You might as well just adjust and move on and figure out how to make things work. Because
does that extend to sports fandom? Just asking for a friend.
I think no. Sports are stupid. You can be stupid.
Okay. See, that's the thing. Like I come on the radio every day and I try to have as much of a level-headed, thought-out take as possible. And I know I'm getting too far away from... We'll get back to Iowa basketball in a second.
Yeah.
But for some reason, with this team, the Blues, and watching my younger brother's team, I could not be anything other than a raging lunatic watching them. And I tried. And I knew I was being an idiot. And I knew that I needed to stop. But I couldn't do it. I don't know what it is about sports, but this is, I know it's not a phenomenon that is just unique to me. Like, you see this around the world. Look at European soccer. It's where people go to let out their frustrations of their life. And that's not what I'm doing. That's not what I was. I'm not going to sit here and say that I was too over the top and it affected anybody else in my life or any other people. It just affected me. But I just kept sitting there and saying, of all the things to get upset about, this is what gets me upset. Why is that? Can you be my psychiatrist here? Can I lay down on this couch over here and toss a tennis ball up in the air?
You know, we can do that, Alex. I think we've got about 32 minutes left. You can.
Well, growing up, I really... No. 309-366-1600. Joe Wieskamp met with the media yesterday as well, and he talked about a lot of things, including what is this team working on the most, trying to get the pieces together for next season. Talks about Bakari Evelyn and Joe Toussaint. Is he going to handle the basketball a little bit more? Is he going to play a little bit more point guard with that being the need of this team? And most importantly, what did he learn from the NBA process? Joe Wieskamp on all of those topics.
The team in general is trying to work on this offseason that maybe you guys felt the most room for improvement following last year?
I think right now it's just coming together as one. Like, we got four new pieces coming in, so it's just getting connected. I mean, Tyler was a great player. Macy was here for a while. Jordan, Isaiah, I mean, those guys being out for now, it hurts. Nicholas, obviously, was a huge glue guy for our team. So it's just other guys stepping up and just kind of getting connected early. I was actually out of town this weekend, so I wasn't able to play open gym with him. But I've heard a lot of good things about him, and I think he's going to fit in.
What about Toussaint so far?
He's looking really good. He's very quick. Obviously, he's pretty small. Haven't seen a lot of him, but I think he's going to be a very good piece for us. Yeah, I think so. I'm definitely going to have to step up, be more aggressive, have the ball in my hand, come off ball screens, different things, set up things for other guys too. I think that's something that's gonna, it's just part of the next step, my progression in my game. And I think that'll definitely happen this year.
Was that talked about a lot when you went through this draft process with some of the teams?
Yeah, a little bit. Just being more aggressive, you know, making plays for others, just being able to read ball screens, different things, coming off, hitting the open guy. I think I'll definitely, you'll see that this year.
What'd you learn from the NBA experience?
I learned a lot. Just going through the workouts, working out with different guys from different teams, meeting with their team personnel, going through all the performance training stuff that they do, and just realizing, you know, how much you have to get your body right to play at that level.
So what are some of the things you're going to be working on this summer then to get better?
A lot of different things. My game's going to have to progress a lot, even a little bit more quickly than I thought, you know, without Isaiah, TC, Macy, possibly Jordan, we don't know. So I'm just going to have to step up a lot this year.
Where in the hell was that press conference being held?
It was at it appeared to be a youth camp full of sixth grade top prospects.
Sixth grade top prospects or just sixth grade kids?
They all looked pretty top, tip top to me.
Is there like a sixth grade recruiting service where they name the top prospects? Because I know that
I'm going strictly eye test.
Joe Wieskamp was offered by Iowa as an eighth grader, right?
Right.
Maybe a seventh grader?
And, I mean, there are some kids out there who get offered really early.
Yeah. I went to high school with a kid who was 6'7" by the time that he was an eighth grader and freshman in high school. And he played at Illinois. You guys might remember him, Tyler Griffey. He had a big-time game-winning layup against Indiana when Indiana was number one. He never really panned out to be the superstar-type player that we all thought he was going to be, but he was a functional Big Ten player. But he was a guy, seventh, eighth grade, scouts were jumping all over. Let that be a lesson to you. You think a kid is going to be 7 foot because he's 6'7" in ninth grade? That's not always how it works out.
I haven't gotten a whole lot taller since, like, seventh grade. So at that time, I was pretty sure I was about to be 6'4", 6'5", probably somewhere around 220, 230.
How short of that did you fall?
Maybe 7 inches. Too close weight-wise, but, but several inches.
Several inches. Okay, we won't get into the weight, but we'll be keeping track of how Joe Wieskamp progresses. But the one thing that I can't help but think with him, just nothing bothers him.
No, he's cool.
He is stone cold. Like he is a cool customer.
Yeah.
And that's why there is this train of thought that says, okay, well, if somebody asked him to be the guy like he was at he was in high school, he can do it. That's what he was at Muscatine. It was him surrounded by a bunch of role players, and he was unbelievable at Muscatine. He took that team to the state tournament, the state tournament in Des Moines. Can he do that at the college level? I'm not going to put it past him, but on the other side, he's patient. He by nature doesn't force things, and what will he be like now as a more volume shooter? Because he's going to have to carry the load for this team next season. We are way, way, way overdue for a break. So we're going to take it. We'll come back. Kyle will get you your last big board update all on the way after this.
Your first place Minnesota Twins are on display at Target Field.
Got him! Ball game over! And the Twins win!
Eddie Rosario providing a flair for the dramatic.
Eddie Rosario with a ninth inning three-run homer.
With a new hero every night.
And Gonzalez hits it high in the air down the right field line, and it is gone!
Go crazy on June 14th for Prince Night as the first 10,000 fans receive a limited edition Purple Prince Twins jersey. Get your tickets at twinsbaseball.com/Prince.
Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar. Just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Whether your project's below ground, above ground, or you're just breaking ground, United Rentals has the equipment and tools you need. We sell expertly maintained used equipment from forklifts and backhoes to scissor lifts and boom lifts. Visit us online to search our inventory of more than 4,000 equipment categories and get custom information on any unit. Visit UnitedRentals.com/used today.
As a mechanic, you're always fixing things, tinkering, tweaking, making it perfect for somebody else. But when's the last time you fixed something that's not working in your life? Star Equipment wants to take care of an experienced mechanic like you. There's always full-time work, summer or winter, and they'll make sure you have plenty of time with your family too. Get the stability, pay, and benefits you deserve from a growing business that shares your values. Learn more online at starequip.com. Equal opportunity employer. Pre-employment drug test required.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
After a thrilling come-from-behind win on Tuesday, Jose Barrios in the mound for the Twins in Game 2 on Wednesday. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Just to give you a little behind-the-scenes look, Kyle was jamming out to some Nickelback during the break.
It was a tweet. It is the look at this graph meme. You guys,
oh, look
out,
at this graph.
Look at this graph.
Look at this photograph.
Yes, it
when
is.
When did Nickelback become the butt of all jokes?
Dude, I actually don't know, and I'm with you on this. I will not have you make... There are Nickelback songs that are catchy.
They're fine.
Like, the dude's got a... It's a voice that, like, it's a unique voice. Like, Maybe a lot of the songs maybe sound the same, but they all sound the same catchy... Like, I really don't know. Like... I don't know when they became the butt of the jokes.
See, I got to bring in Jackson Parker from Z102.9. He's more the music
expert.
He'll
have an
here.
Answer for this.
Jackson, when did Nickelback become the butt of all jokes?
And why they did always? They?
No, they weren't. I thought they were a pretty popular band, and musically speaking, they're average-ish.
For me, it was back. They have two songs that sound exactly the same. The drum beats actually fill each other. If you play them together, they're the same song with different lyrics and a different melody. And for me, that's when I was like, oh, so you're hacks then.
Okay, so there you kind go. Of become like your product is kind of recycled and,
yes,
and
extremely.
Okay, just repackaged.
Yep, I think once you hit that point, then you either need to start mixing something up or just call it. You did it. You made it.
Jackson Parker bringing the knowledge.
Thank you, Jackson.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank goodness that we got the answer to that because I never knew. Is Kyle Lowry the Nickelback of the NBA?
Oh my. See, now there's a fun concept. There's a fun game we could play. Who is the Nickelback of the NBA?
Kyle Lowry. Well, Drake, but also Kyle Lowry.
Why, though?
He's the fall guy. He is the butt of all jokes when it comes to the Toronto Raptors. Nobody wants to blame anybody else for any of the problems with Toronto other than that guy.
Except all the people out there who were so eager to try to blame Nick Nurse for calling a timeout.
Oh, yeah, that
like,
too.
I mean, I don't know.
That too. But what we need to do right now, we are way overdue for an Alexander Lumber big board update. Are you planning on a home remodel or upgrading the windows in your home? If so, check out the all-new Alexander Lumber window line. Go ahead, Kyle.
More from yesterday's basketball availability. Joe Wieskamp said it was his plan all along to return to school for his sophomore season, but he wasn't really shy about the fact that he eventually wants to go pro. He didn't indicate he's got any sort of set timetable, but it's definitely going to be a real discussion as soon as next season if he plays well. Luka Garza also said he's preparing to be able to extend his shot to the new three-point line, and Fran McCaffrey mentioned that Jack Nungy's up over 250 pounds. Iowa junior Longy Tasuga is fresh off an NCAA title in the discus, as well as her third Big Ten title and third All-American distinction. She was named the 2019 Big Ten Field Athlete of the Year today. She was the 14th national champion in program history and is now the second Hawkeye to receive this award. The Colonels returned home for the first time in 2 weeks last night, and with only four games remaining in the first half, they've gotten hot as they try to fight for a wild card spot. Gabe Snyder homered twice in the 4-1 victory last night, and another big home run from Andrew Bechtold powered a 4-3 victory earlier today. The Colonels are now 9-3 in the month of June and go for the sweep tomorrow at 6:30. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins and Mariners on the North Gym, but Alex, the Cup is on the line in about 20 minutes. We're going to have it on the South and Main Gyms, the Blues and Bruins from Boston for all the marbles. Puck drop is set for just minutes after we get off the air.
See, that's an important topic, right, Kyle? But an even more important topic, 1302. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Do you remember Mumford & Sons? The band?
What was their big song?
I don't know. They all sound exactly the same, and they all have exactly the same music or beat. Or
I would almost,
background, whatever you call it. It's the same rhythm to every single song. And 1302 says, most people who rip on Nickelback refuse to admit the same issue with Mumford & Sons. Thank you.
There's a lot of different bands who...
It's a band you start... It starts real slow. The beat just sort of builds at the end.
It's kind of folky.
Yes, very folky.
It starts a little bit downtrodden, but it's all going to be good because in the middle, we're happy.
Same
it builds.
With Nickelback. Look at this photo. See, that's a great song, right?
And yeah, look at this graph. Yeah. No, it's good.
So can we get a ruling on this? Is Nickelback unfairly criticized or are they hacks? You know what? I'm going to have to go back to what Jackson said.
You're going hack?
I guess so. I have no musical knowledge whatsoever, so I got to trust the experts this one.
You're right. I'm going to sit here and say that they've got some catchy songs, but I'm a simpleton, especially when Jackson walks up in here exuding this aura of musical expertise. because you're right, I have no idea what's going on. And so we should probably just defer to Jackson. They're hacks.
7255 saying AC/DC. You can direct your hate mail to me, Alex, at KGYM Radio. Thank you, 7255, for texting in. But if anyone out there is upset with 7255, just email me, Alex, at KGYM Radio.
AC/DC.
Let's move on from that one.
Okay.
Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. The Boston Bruins looking for their second Stanley Cup in this decade. They won back in 2011. The St. Louis Blues looking to somehow go on the road once again and win their first Stanley Cup in franchise history. They had a chance to do that this past Sunday. They were blown out in the third period at home. Can they recover once again, putting themselves in a weird position and backing themselves out of a corner? It's something they've done all season long. If they're going to win the cup for the first time in their history and avoid going into the offseason with a really, really sour taste in their mouth, that's exactly what they're going to have to do. We're going to have that game coming up on two of our three frequencies, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, as well as 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, 107.5. We're going to send you out to action from Target Field. It will be the Minnesota Twins taking on the Seattle Mariners. As I forgot to mention, you can still vote in our Emil's Hideaway poll question at kgymradio.com. Who wins the Stanley Cup game number 7 tonight? St. Louis, Boston, and right now the voting is gridlocked at 50-50. Just about 6 minutes remaining in our show. I want to thank Joe Sheehan for joining us in hour number one. And Sean Leahy of NBC Sports joining us in hour number two. You can catch the podcast at kgymradio.com. It will be available right after the conclusion of our show. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Final thoughts. Wrap things up. Send you off to Stanley Cup Final Game number 7, Minnesota Twins Baseball. We'll also get you ready for a Thursday program of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
If you build it, he will come.
This Father's Day, join the Colonels for Field of Dreams Day at the ballpark. The first 1,000 fans will receive a souvenir baseball, and fans can meet Dwyer Brown, who played John Kinsella in the movie. All kids 12 and under eat free every Sunday thanks to Western Fraternal Life. All fans are welcome to enjoy a game of catch in the outfield and run the bases as part of Prairie Farms Run the Bases Sunday after the game. Get tickets at Colonels.com.
Stugatz here. We all have home projects we put off for too long. What's stopping you? For lots of people, they worry about overpaying and not getting a fair price. That's where Home Advisor can help. Their true cost guide shows you what others paid for similar projects. Then you can get matched with top-rated pros, read reviews, request quotes, and book appointments all for free. HomeAdvisor makes it easy to get those projects done so you can relax this summer. To find the right pro at a fair price, just ask HomeAdvisor. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
Wedding season is upon us, and the easiest way to look fresh for the big day is with theblacktux.com. The Black Tux has awesome suits and tuxedos that you rent online. With their free home try-on, you can see the fit and feel the quality of your suit months before your event. After ordering, it will arrive 14 days before your event. Stand out for the right reasons with the Black Tux. For $20 off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com and enter code SPAIN. That's theblacktux.com, code SPAIN.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. The perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Welcome to the High Life. The 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
This is the NBA Finals. The Warriors survive elimination and force Game 6 in Oakland.
Coverage begins Thursday night at 7 here on the Gym, KGYM.
About 5 minutes to play with on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here in the KGYM studio. Alex Kuhn alongside Kyle Mann. Todd is out today. Jackson Parker is our associate producer here, keeping us on the air until 7 o'clock, or just a few more minutes on your Wednesday. Thursday program, we're going to have Woodja, as well as plenty of reaction to the Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. And Friday, we'll keep you posted. Jack Dom, touching all the bases, will be joining us for his weekly segment. As I mentioned, you can still vote in our Emil's Hideaway poll question at kgymradio.com. Who wins Stanley Cup? Who wins the Stanley Cup tonight? The Blues or the Bruins? It's that simple. Still split at 50-50. It sure doesn't feel like 50-50 to me. We'll get to that in just a second. But Kyle, why don't you update the folks on the latest in the saga of David Ortiz being shot in the Dominican Republic?
Yeah, dude, a whole random thing that this even happened in the first place, and it just continues to get a little bit weirder, where, you know, at first it was reported that, you know, I don't even know which one came first, that it was it was a robbery, but then after that it was a failed assassination of somebody that he was with, but now it does seem that the police are zeroing in on a few different elements of the story. Ortiz was the target, and apparently the newest development that I just came across is that police believe they're working with a botched assassination attempt coordinated by somewhere between 6 and 10 co-conspirators. And this development does not go so far as to explain why, or, you know, guess why. But this was an operation. The term, you know, somebody was at the top. The term mastermind is used. David Ortiz had a group of people who were working to end his life. And I, you know, in the country that everybody all week has been talking about, he is so beloved there. It that is just bizarre. And I mean, I'm so glad that didn't pan out for them.
Looks like he's going to make it through. He is going to be delivering the message to the Boston Bruins from his hospital bed in Boston. He's been shipped to Boston, so good to see that he is still alive, and we'll keep that. Is a very strange story, and it is, I'm sure it's going to unfold and get even weirder. Game 7 tonight. It's on tap. We're going to send you out there in just a few minutes to the TD Garden in Boston. The Boston Bruins looking to make sure that Boston gets 3 parades in 1 year. 3 championships in 1 year. The Red Sox, the Patriots, and the Bruins are trying to be the third. St. Louis Blues trying to win their first Stanley Cup in franchise history. There are Blues fans here in Eastern Iowa. Here's the fact of the matter. Game 7 is winner take all. You win, jubilation. Historic. You lose, it's not good enough. Should have won at home. Simple as that. That's what's on the line here in Game 7. I know there are going to be a lot of people that say, great season if they don't win. I'm not going to be one of them. You get to this point in the season, you realize that this might be the only opportunity that you have in the near future to get to the Stanley Cup Final. You had a great year. You were dead last on November the 24th, but if you can't bring it home, especially after being up 3-2, that's the cold world of being a professional athlete.
I understand that. I'm totally with you. You're not going to get any of that. You know, you should be happy. You're not getting any of that. And, you know, I've heard you bring that up over the last, you know, few days, and it just reminds me of, you know, how often does you should be happy with what you get? It reminded me a lot of, you know, last Iowa basketball season, to be honest with you, because you remember the expectations that Iowa had going into last year and Hawkeye fans, and, you know,
right.
You know, we don't have to rehash the whole thing, but they just started so much better, and then, you know, we're
roller coaster.
They got just good enough that, for me, the whole you should just be happy that things turned out better than you thought they would, you know, that just doesn't fly for me. Once you've proven yourself to be a good team, or in the Blues case, once you've chosen or shown yourself to be a championship caliber team,
bring it home.
I'm waiting for a championship.
Bring it home. Kyle has given you big board updates today, and they've been brought to you by Alexander Lumber. We'll get you more information on them tomorrow as well, as Kyle's going to be bringing you updates three times during the course of the show, one update per hour. As I mentioned, the Minnesota Twins will be on the North Gym. We're going to send you out there on 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and on 106.3 FM and 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym. We're going to send you out to Game 7 at TD Garden between the St. Louis Blues and the Boston Bruins. Winner take all. Who is going to win the Stanley Cup? You are going to find out right here on two of our three frequencies. I know I'll be listening on the drive home. You can visit our website at kgymradio.com to vote in our Emil's Hideaway poll question, who's going to win. You have about 20 minutes to vote, and you can also find our podcast available there. We will talk to you tomorrow for a Thursday Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn.